I just added there's an action item under special events.
Yeah, and I...
Executive Committee of the Oregon State Capitol Foundation, there's Mr. Will Helms.
Hi.
Come sit next to me, Gary.
Good morning.
I want to want you within reach. We have Jerry Thompson on the phone, Judy Hall, Jane Cease, Ben Collum, Joan Plank, Kenny Lang, and Gary Wilhelms. Nick Herrera is going to staff us both as our administrator and as the committee clerk today, because Heather Edmonds, the newest hire in legislative administration to assist us, is here, but just for briefly. Thank you, Heather, for joining us, and I hope we're not too challenging for you. Good. It's been interesting getting from January to April with y'all in the various committees. I understand that we are all volunteers, and some of us have new jobs and new responsibilities or other plans with our lives that conflict with trying to do things timely for the foundation. So I certainly appreciate the effort that each of you do put in to further us along. I think we've had some great progress, hopefully, organizationally, and we'll get into that in a bit, I think certainly under the development subcommittee, the governance subcommittee report, as well as the development committee report. But first, I'd like to start with Ms. Lang giving us an update on our two critical pieces of legislation. We'll get into the third piece, that's the Oregon State Capitol renovation project, with Mr. Wilhelms when he gives his report. Jenny.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We have two pieces of legislation, one in the House, one in the Senate. Well, one a House bill and one a Senate bill, let's put it that way. Senate Bill 472A was heard this morning in the Finance and Revenue Committee. This is the license plate bill, which adds an additional 40,000 plates, proceeds still to be divided equally between us and the Oregon Historical Society. And the dash A is the language that authorizes the foundation to use the money for purposes other than just the gateway. So I expect a work session in revenue on Friday-ish, maybe Monday, and then it will go to the floor. It came from business and transportation unanimously. I don't anticipate any problem. DMV has been in both hearings available for questions, and that wasn't necessary. House Bill 2037, which is the restructuring reorganization bill, was heard in the House Rules Committee and on March 11th, and a work session on the 16th. Chair Neal and Foundation member Representative Huffman did a terrific job making the case. Huffman carried the bill on the House floor. It passed 58-0 and is in the Senate Rules Committee now awaiting a hearing. I expect that to happen within the next week or so. So I think we're in good shape. Great. Questions?
Great.
Okay.
Past Chair Cease.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Jenny, for all of the work you've done on it. It would be really helpful to me if we could get an email about the bills when they're scheduled for work sessions, or just to the foundation members when,
sure.
So that we, because
you can sign up for that. I get noticed.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
I do too. Just through OLAS to subscribe.
I understand that, but I think if they're foundation bills, I think it would be helpful if all the foundation members could be let know, because not all of them are going to come in and sign up. And I had one of them ask me if I knew what was going on today, and or if I knew what was going on, or why was I here at 8 o'clock in the morning. So I just think it would be really helpful if we could do that.
Okay.
Thank you.
I want to, Jenny, thank you very much for all you've done and will continue to do.
My
it's
pleasure.
Been a joy simply appearing and saying nice things. That would allow me to say something nice about you.
Here, here.
Nick, you have some...
I just wanted to say that we can just manually do that for you. We can, as soon as we get back, we can have Heather sign everybody up to receive those notifications.
Thank
when
you.
The bills are scheduled.
Great. And when they're up for third reading, that'd be lovely, too.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. All of it.
Great. Well, the progress of 2073, the reorganization bill, 2037. I'm
we have the numbers.
I shack up with a dyslexic, and it's contagious. As time goes by, I see the symptoms. We're working on many fronts to be a stronger, more robust 501c3, but we also, in light of that, need some additional staffing. And a lot of the committee reports today will think bring out some of that. Joan and I had a discussion with Jane on Monday and came up with sort of an outline of let's figure out what the different tasks are that we need to do. Nick and Heather have assisted somewhat in enumerating tasks, but then we wanted to look at all of the aspects. They may not all fall under a particular FTE job description. It may be sundry needs that cannot be met by a single person or two half-time persons, say, paid through legislative administration, but maybe contracted with as well. And so we need to keep that in mind as 2037 progresses. And before the legislature adjourns, how we might address those needs and when. And so, Joan.
Okay. So.
we don't have a board.
Yeah, we don't have a board. And I'm
should
sure you can't see
Nick.
This, but you'll kind of get the idea. So we sort of, when if we were talking, we had sort of a... what made sense to us the other day about sort of what we need for staffing to make us, I mean, we're making super great progress as the foundation, but we still have some areas where we struggle. And so there's sort of the, what we need at the foundation level and what we need at the LAC level. And we have some of what we need in both, but I think we need a little bit more. So from the foundation level, we have our development person, so Sharon Lechte, which is great. It's a need we have. But I think we also need an executive director person to kind of oversee and coordinate mm-hmm. everything. And I'm not making any comments about whether that's a, well, whether it's a contract or a position. I mean, that's something that we'll have to work through, obviously, the development of one is a contract now. I also think we need a communications person or firm, somebody that we contract with so that we can go get services when we need them for brochures, for newsletters, for whatever. The volunteer thing isn't working so well when people have full-time jobs. And so if we could go to a firm and say, you know, do our newsletter, help us with some flyers for some events, that would just be spiffy as far as I'm concerned. And then History Gateway, there's also a conversation, and when we're right now, we've got the contract with Dr. Busey, but you know where we want to go in the future with the History Gateway again, whether it's a contract or whether it's a position, remains to be seen. So that's kind of on the foundation side. And then on the ledge administration side, we have Nick and Heather for our administrative support. So that's a have, and we want to keep that. We also have support from Doug Peets for contracting. And that's helpful to us, too, keeps us on track and where we're supposed to be, so make sure we do it all right. And then we also have our visitor services, which houses the History Gateway, I mean, is coordinating that for us and doing a fine job, as is current Nick and Heather, and then also partners with us on the event. So we have some of what we need, but I think that might provide a structure and outline for what we might want to consider in the future. That what you thought we talked about?
Right, and just keep also in mind that that we probably don't want to hire someone as a 501c3 as an employee simply because of director and officer insurance, the other insurance issues and payroll issues, et cetera. That's something that LAC can handle nicely, or that a contractor with its own employees can handle. So we haven't come up with any decisions along that lines. We're just trying to elicit needs. Madam Cease. Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Sir Neil. I think that we need to notice that we're really in an exciting time, and that it's a transition from where we were into wherever we're going to go, where we want to go, and that transitions are messy and delicate and difficult, and we need to all keep that in mind. I just think that with the builds and with the what I call not Oscar the renovation, but the State Capitol Rescue project that Gary's on top of, that's all so exciting. But everything that we talked about when we were talking on Monday that Joan just went over, I think we need to keep that in mind as we head into the future, because with the, and I'm anticipating that Jenny's done such good work that 2037 and 472 are going to pass with few votes against them, and there we will be as of September the 15th, really plunged into a new structure. We're going to have new rules, bylaws, and all that. But I look back. I won't go on much longer. I look back over. I don't even remember what date it was when I got onto this. Frankie twisted my arm in 1998, but I don't think I made it till 2002 or something. And you know, after I'd been on a while, I kept thinking, we're just kind of mushing around. I don't think we're really going where we need to go. And finally, I think mostly with Norm Smith and Jerry Thompson's and people like that, we headed in where we really should have been going all along, and now we're in the middle of it, and it's messy, but I like it. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Herb.
you're talking about the Ledge admin support. The other group that needs to be included in that is media.
Okay.
We need their support,
okay.
And
great.
Special guides of the donor board. As we start getting that software developed, somebody needs to be updating that board for us. That needs to be ongoing.
I think Nick can do some of that now, right, working with media, but I hear you.
He's working on it.
So anyway, it's something to think about going toward, I think.
Right. Judy?
Question.
Oh, Jerry, just a second. Judy's next, then you. Thank you.
I can't see him.
I know. That's why I'm telling you what's going on.
So have we looked at other foundations to see what they do?
We are looking
okay,
at.
Okay, that was my main thing.
Particularly those that have some close relationship with a state agency, state parks, state forestry, and the state fair.
Okay.
In particular, yeah. How so they work. Forestry, I think, is the most informative for us at this point. Apparently, parks they're having a little struggle.
Yes.
So they may not be a great example.
Okay.
Bless their hearts. Although we have a partnership with parks, and I've asked the park ranger to come to our full meetings for the grounds, the Capitol grounds one, so that we have their participation. But yes, and Sharon's helping me with that too.
Okay.
Jerry.
Did you give consideration, assuming that all of this cannot take place at the same time, given funding and the process of getting it done, did you give consideration to what would be first, second, and third priorities?
Not yet.
But that makes good sense.
And I think that your committee can be critical to that too, as you get requests for programs and funding for events and programs from the various committees. Get a sense of prioritizing. Plus, Joan's governance subcommittee once, and she'll give us a report this morning. Will tell us kind of to prioritize what policies need to be in place, and that'll I think also inform us on what sort of staffing we need when.
Yeah, well, I certainly endorse the idea, and I would agree that we need a, for lack of any other title, an executive director that can bird dog so much for us.
Good. Any other? Gary?
Did the report that you gave that started out this discussion, was that a report from your subcommittee?
No, where did this brain from your officers? Fred and I have breakfast most Mondays. Jane joins us sometimes just to make sure that we're communicating, and we were just talking, and it came out.
Okay, so where are you? What's the next step?
Well, this is I wanted to bring it up this morning because it's I think frames all of our other discussions today, and sets a stage for we're going to have to make some decisions here within the next 6 months, if not sooner. Did we just get joined by someone?
Oh, great.
It's not a proposal yet. It's just an idea, and we can turn it into one and have, you know.
Well, I think it's great that you're talking about this. Because
well, I'm not to interrupt you, Joan, but it could impact the 2015-16 budget.
Right. Yes.
Oh, yes.
Right. Big
well,
time.
I think all of us want some sort of staffing arrangement. But the more you talk, the more nervous I got.
Well, talk to me.
You named about six different positions,
right.
Five maybe. And some of them were part-time, and some of them were in the foundation, some of them were in the legislative administration, and so forth. That's way too complicated for me.
Okay.
You know, I think we ought to have one executive director and an assistant, and whether that's a full-time assistant or not, I don't know. But that executive director ought to be a multi-talented person. I don't think we need to go out and contract with a lot of people after we get that person on the job. It's my opinion now.
That's
and I'm just,
what we're looking
just,
for.
Well, and I'm just throwing it out because this is a public record meeting,
right? Okay.
And you start talking about adding that many people. I mean, those are things that the legislators right. love to criticize when you create an agency and then all of a sudden, you're talking, yeah, it just grows and grows and grows, and that isn't what we're all about.
Okay.
And we want to make it clear that that's not what we're all about.
Absolutely.
And I totally agree with Gary. It would seem to me the logical way to approach it is bring in an executive director type person who then identifies other areas where we may need help.
Okay, and that certainly helps our prioritizing. And yeah. This is exactly what we were looking for in terms of reactions.
I think it's good that you started the discussion and we got things rolling.
Right.
That's wonderful because
right.
we need to get there.
We're planting the seeds.
Somehow.
Right. Jenny.
I was just going to say that this actually started percolating with Jerry's budget committee a month or so ago when we were talking about how much money have we got coming in and what's the license plate impact going to be and how much is going out and what are we doing with the gateway. So then the leaders kind of took it from there and started putting some shape to it. So,
right. And I am having conversations, I should say, with Kevin Hayden
right.
about how he might address it once we get a better sense
yeah.
of what our priorities are in better staffing.
The guide off, if we had discussion with the guide office about what their role with the gateway is going to be, they ought to be responsible.
We're working on it.
And I was trying to say we have that role now that they're filling, and whether or not we need more of a
coordinator that takes a lot of the burden off of Jolene.
And they're doing great work for us.
We'll get into a history report right. of where what's next on the gateway.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is just the framework. Then we're going to talk substance the rest of the day, I hope, with a little frivolity here and there.
Yeah. So
no
complaints about what we're getting. We're just questioning whether more is needed.
Right, and certainly not
and when.
Six FTE.
Right.
But looking for somebody that can multitask and figure out what it is our most urgent needs are and be able to address them so that we are successful in this transition to a standalone or stand separate, not alone, 501c3 entity.
May it make Gary right. a little more comfortable if we say that these are functions that we're looking yeah. for, not individuals.
Right. Sure. Right. Good. 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 Yeah. Okay. That's nice.
Yeah,
that's
yeah. I'm not trying to be negative. I guess I'm looking at it as a former legislator. We used to love to rip proposals apart when they come in and want to expand their organizations.
No, I think that's a really good. That is what we were trying to identify as yep. the functions and how right. it comes together. So,
okay.
So it that way in the
that's
future.
The chair's welcome. and I'd like to point out that Jolene Pavagas has joined us. Thank you for being here, Jolene. And we have a member of the public, I think. Press. Oh, great.
Oh, okay.
Lovely. Now let's talk about the minutes, both of January, which is the full meeting of the foundation membership. And let's take that up first, January 21st. There's a new format here that's more like a log to a legislative committee. And so it says who talked when, what the general topic was, and then what the motions were, what actions were taken. If somebody wanted to go back and listen to the substance of the discussion, they could listen to the tapes.
Mr. Chair?
So?
I have a problem with this. Mm-hmm. I really do, because it doesn't, sorry, I know, you know, there's certain formats, but it doesn't say what anybody said or the discussion or anything, and I have a problem with this format.
Well, I must admit that was my first reaction as well. Nick, you want to respond at all?
Not really, but he will.
The reason that it's in this format is there was an issue with the audio recording from the January meeting.
Oh, my goodness.
So this was a quickly put together minutes for you to have for you for today. It's much easier to do the minutes in this format. So I just worked with Jessica to get minutes in front of you today so that you could see them. And in talking with Fred, we had just said, let's explore that idea so that we can devote staff time to other critical things versus putting minutes together, which is just a very time-consuming process. So that's why they're in this format, but we certainly don't have to keep them in this format.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Jane.
Thank you. So in this format, do we really comply with the requirements of the public records for the committee that has to go in the archives?
As far as I know, this goes above and beyond still of what our public records requirements are.
Right.
So the public records requirement, if the audio were available, that would be where anybody would find out what somebody said on this. Right. But if the audio wasn't working, what happens?
If the audio doesn't work, we have sort of a two-step process when we record. So we have a primary audio recorder, and then we have a backup, and that's how we were able to save.
Right.
So there's always a fail-safe.
Right. Okay.
In terms of what's required for Senate and House rule, which my understanding in terms of
Nick,
minutes.
You keep fading in and out.
Oh,
you're the only one.
Go straight to the mic, Nick. You're a little, your mic's not.
He just needs to be closer to the phone.
Yeah. Oh, closer to the phone. Sure. It's a mic there.
I think in terms of Senate and House rule, which we typically try to follow when we produce minutes and abide by public records law, this still goes above and beyond the minimum requirements.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Can I add something to that? Back in the old days, we did do minutes.
Yeah, I know.
We did go to the tape log. Part of the reason was because the minutes were not as consistent, because you have 10 different committee clerks with their own interpretations, And it was a much better process, and it was backed up, and that they're doing video of everything also. Right. So it's, you're going to have that backup.
Right.
Herb, for those that are technically challenged, if I want to know what was said about the History Gateway at this meeting, is there a way of going online and listening to this?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Right, and one thing it does tell you is that you want to forward to the particular recording log.
Where?
Aspect. It tells you where to go, so you don't have to listen to Fred Neal ramble on incessantly before you get to the meat of the meeting.
Okay, I guess I need to know where I go to hear that.
Right. I prefer the other way myself, and I think we could do that. It's actually putting more burden on staff. This is our fail-safe. It is adequate. We can either not approve them today and hold that action until we have a different set of full narrative minutes, or we can accept this format today only and ask that future minutes be our more traditional mode, or we can say this is the way to progress in this digital age, make it easier on staff, and still comply with public records law, and make sure that the public and the media have full access to our deliberations by approving this and using this format in the future. What is the wish of our minutes for January 21 in this format are before us now?
I would move approval of the January minutes in this format today.
Second is necessary. Approval.
And one other comment. I do like the way you captured the motions here. It's very clear, and I think more clear than it has been in some of our other minutes. So that part's great.
Mr. Wilhelm, still the motion.
Did I hear somebody say that every one of our meetings is televised?
Well, yeah.
It is. So it's on video. Disc someplace.
Somebody out there might be watching this as
well,
we speak.
That's okay. I love that. You know, being I just for public record purposes, I think it's great. Digitally recorded on video, wonderful.
I'm not sure.
And I might add that your shirt goes nicely with your jacket, and I think works well on film. Herb.
I'm not sure that we're always video recorded, though, especially when we're in 350 and some of the other room.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, what?
If we're conducting a hearing in a hearing room where there are cameras, it is always video and audio recorded. At the very least, it is audio recorded.
Okay. All right.
Like that camera right there is live right now on
I hope so.
Yes. So yeah. Right now, anyone in the world.
Are there any objections to the motion?
Hang on. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Mr. Wilhelms.
What is the Joint Committee on the Oregon State Capitol Foundation?
It is.
Did you already answer that?
We did in a previous meeting. It's a way for them to, it's their format for minutes. And we are, because there's senators and representatives on the foundation membership, we're considered, for their protocols, a joint committee. That's all. We're still just the Oregon State Capitol Foundation. Nick, is that?
The foundation is, in fact, a joint statutory committee.
All right.
Herb. Well, I like to offer an amendment to that future minutes go back to the old format?
Well,
I'm a dinosaur.
Let's make that a separate motion. Okay. I think it's more substantive. The motion is before us is to approve the minutes as presented for the January 21st meeting. Is there any objection?
Yes.
I hear an objection from Senator Cease. All right, so adopted. Herb, let me get through the next set of minutes, which is the executive committee meeting we held on February 18th to provide funding for $10,000 for the oral history project. Is there a motion to accept these?
Sure.
So moved.
All right, moved. No second necessary. Anybody wish to speak to that executive committee minutes? Is there any objection to approving the motion? If not, so adopted. Now, Herb has wishes.
As the dinosaur in the room, I would like to go back to the old format for recording minutes.
Nick, what kind of, I would ask Nick and Heather, what sort of burden is that on staff?
Producing the full.
You need to be over here.
Yeah, get so that Jerry can hear you on that mic.
Producing the full transcription obviously takes more time. I wouldn't say it's a burden, and we are happy to continue to do them that way. This was just intended as a way that we could quickly get minutes in front of you for today's meeting, because we did run into that issue and they were restored, I think, late last week.
Right.
So we wanted to do them quickly so we could get some minutes in front of you. Every meeting is still audio and video recorded, so.
All right.
Mr. Chair,
Jane.
In support of the motion, and with understanding and sympathy for staff time, I just want to say that we're a strange creature, and we don't, I mean, you know, legislative committees don't go back and say what are the minutes like, do we approve them,
right.
But we have a need to do that because that's what our bylaws and rules say. I would really appreciate the ability to have the committee see what it said. And I remember there have been a number of times where we have made some changes to them, and I think it reflects well upon us to be able to have accurate minutes that we're comfortable with.
Right. Anyone else wish to speak to the motion?
Just one quick comment,
yes,
Mr. Chair. I know that the exec committee is usually able to review minutes and everything before the meetings. I also know that there are many members on the full board who don't even look at things until they walk in the door that day. And if this is what they look at, they're not really reviewing minutes.
All right. I'll take a vote. All those in favor of the motion, and Ed and Jerry, just say aye.
Or no.
All those in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Aye.
Five. All those opposed? I think the motion carries. There's five ayes, and the chair votes aye. Now, the question, I would like to move on, but I think we need to ask Nick if we want the January minutes to go back. No, okay, I think we're good. Very good. Let's proceed with our agenda. Review of financial statements. Jerry, you're on the spot here. Have you had a chance to look at these at all? Nick's here to help.
Yes, and I did. I sent Nick an email and said I'm going to ask him to work with it daily walk everybody through it.
All right. Thank you. Nick, come on up where Jerry can hear you. Sit up here. Thank you.
The first financial statement is the balance sheet. As of the end of February, there are just over $930,000 in the History Center funds, with just over $130,000 in operating funds, with a total checking and savings of about $1.06 million, and total liabilities equaling $1.08 million. And then you can see the third financial statement, the transaction detail by account, is similar to what you review every quarter, detailing every transaction by account as we either take in money or expend money.
Okay, and then I remind you, let me just say that this is through February. For the April 15th meeting, we will have the third quarter, we'll have the full January through March 31 transactions and balance sheets, and that is the one that we review as a full foundation membership for accuracy and carrying out our fiduciary responsibilities per our auditor's recommendations. So this is just to brief us as executive committee members and for Jerry to get a chance to tell us if she has any urgent concerns about where we are here midway through the third quarter. Jerry?
No, I don't have anything that's urgent. We're still working our way through trying to collapse and reduce some of the line items to make things more compatible. And that we'll start doing the minute I return from here.
Yes, I already got your email this morning. Thanks. Joan, well, good. Thank you. We don't need to take any action on the financial statements. Just more information. Joan, the audit update?
The audit isn't done yet because the audit, Sherry, who's doing the audit, Sherry Scholes, is doing tax returns now at the CPA firm. So she will... she got started on it earlier this year, but had to take a little break, and we'll pick it back up when tax season is done. She did get our 990 filed, and we need to – I haven't had a chance to read through it yet, but we need to make that available to for review for people to see. The audit – I got a copy. Nick sent me a copy of the engagement letter. And the cost of the audit is about $5,000 is what we agreed, which is a very good price from what I understand. Sherry's doing
both the
right. So, we didn't get a date, did we, Nick, on when she's going to be done? Just said after April 15th, and we'll have her come and present like we did before to. At least the fund committee, if not the full committee, so that everyone understands what the outcome was and whether there's any concerns that we need to address.
Good. She did file the 990, and that is on record. At Nick's got a copy, and it's also available electronically if anyone wants to see that filing with IRS. It's also filed, of course, with the Oregon Department of Justice. Okay. Thank you.
I have a question.
Yes, Jerry.
Go ahead.
Joan, Tony Meeker asked the Budget Committee to add $1,000 to the audit expense. You say you have the letter, engagement letter. What price was quoted?
Just under $5,000, but there is a caveat that says if they run into we estimate our fees for service $4,995 for audit and returns, but we're going to be billed for travel, other out-of-pocket costs such as report production, word processing, postage, and if additional time is necessary. So that's probably why he asked for an additional $1,000 to be budgeted. I think it's prudent.
Well, we have.
Okay, none of that was included in the $5,000.
It sounds like it wasn't, based on what I'm reading here.
Right, and I see on the page 2 of the profit and loss budget versus actual under expenses. Mm-hmm. It looks like we budgeted $4,000 for the audit because that was what we had, is what
well,
you charged
that
last
be my
year.
Exact next question, Fred.
Right.
There's a discrepancy here. Are we adding the $1,000 to what was originally budgeted, which I think was Tony's request, or are we going to end up with? $5,000 plus another $1,000.
Well, right. What she says in the letter here is the $5,000, and then also billed for the out of pocket. She says if significant additional time is necessary, we will discuss it with you and arrive at a new fee estimate before we incur the additional costs, which is a good way to proceed,
right.
So, I think. So,
Jerry, do you recommend that we take action as an executive committee this morning to add an additional $1,000 to the
$4,000
that's budgeted?
I would recommend that, yes, but it concerns me if it's going to go above that even.
Well, I think we address that or we exceed our budgeted item and we just recognize that. It doesn't mean that we're in violation of anything. We'll take care of additional costs if they happen. I don't foresee Sherry having any additional
Right. So it says we estimate the $5,000 will also be billed for travel and other out-of-pocket, such as report production. If significant time or time is needed, then they'll come back to us and negotiate. Yeah. So we're probably in pretty good shape at the $5,000.
Right. She doesn't need to travel more than the 12 blocks to get to the Capitol from her office. So I think we're okay there. All right.
Okay, and then, Chair, would you entertain a motion?
Absolutely. Thank you.
I would move that we add to the 2014-15 budget under operating expenses audit for the fund an additional $1,000 over and above the already budgeted $4,000.
All right. The motion, Gary.
Well, besides getting a stamp of approval, I guess, on our finances, what else might we be getting for this?
Well, she instructs us as having served on the audit committee last year, say that she tells us what our P's and Q's are and whether we're minding them. And she also does our tax return, which is a double. Normally, you would be contracting with a CPA for that and with an auditor for an audit. And the only other bid we got a year and a half ago or 2 years ago was was substantially higher. So we understand that she's in a small firm. She also is on the board of and audits the Salem Heritage Center returns. And so she's giving us a good price based on her time.
She's doing our tax returns for that price. Is she giving us recommendations on what we might be able to do with that process?
So, yes, the 2014 memo had several recommendations, things like bank statements are reviewed quarterly by the board of directors, recommend that ODOT be required to report both cash received and the number of plates sold every month. Committee review DNO matters. She's looking at how we operate and is giving us advice on how to do it better or.
Yeah, a lot of that I maybe missed some of it, Gary, because it does come up through the fund board, although I think we had a joint audit report.
Yeah, but not very many people stuck around.
Right. And that letter, those recommendations were ones that then Tony and I, as the audit committee, addressed and have been adopted by the full foundation and the fund boards in their operating procedures, such as reviewing the full financial records quarterly as a body of the whole rather than putting the onus on the treasurer to do it weekly or the like.
Clarification.
Yes, Jerry.
I think I heard somebody say that this four that we're about to increase to $5,000 includes the tax preparation.
Correct.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
I can't confirm that, but if you say so, I believe you.
Yeah. Yes.
It does.
It does.
Include our tax preparation?
Yes, and she's filed them, yeah.
I would be interested in knowing the breakout. What does it cost us for our tax preparation, and what does it actually cost us for an audit? Are we going to be doing an audit every year?
Yes, and under the reorg bill, 2037, we're required. We should do an audit as a review every year. And the House bill requires us to do one and present it to LAC. So, yeah.
Count
on
it. In my involvement in other boards, there's a full audit, and then there's
a review. It's
a review. A review?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then are we doing a full audit every year, or are we doing an audit?
We are this year. That's a good question, and I think we should bring that up with Tony and Joan at the next fund board meeting at the audit committee. Let's get Tony involved in that discussion.
Okay, that's a good idea.
and Sherry, for that matter. But, yeah, that's a certainly an approach in the future.
Since I've been working on your policies, your bill does require a full audit. It doesn't say a review. So if you wanted to change that for efficiency, it's only going to cut your cost by about a third anyway.
Right.
Okay. Good.
Right.
Thank you.
And one of the advantages of having the same auditor is there's some consistency. She doesn't have to rediscover how we keep books. You know, she's got a relationship with the bookkeeper, with a line of communication open. She's already figured out how DMV operates, which she took her several months to do at the previous audit, as far as getting us the license plate revenues monthly. Okay? So the motion, any more comments to this motion? The motion is to add $1,000 operations funds to the $4,000 already budgeted for audit and tax returns. Any objection? Hearing none, so adopted.
Mr. Chair.
Jane.
Fred.
Ed.
Oops. I need to leave the meeting at 11 o'clock, but I'll be back after that.
All right, we'll take you
up. I have another meeting. I need to be in with my boss, so.
All right.
Mr. Chair.
I'd like to then take you up next.
As
the first committee report.
Just real quick, we need to have to schedule a fund meeting following the full board next year and put this item on it.
15th.
On the 15th.
Not next year.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Okay.
So can we do Ed's report then?
I won't be here next
year. Ed, you're up.
Okay. So thank you, Fred, for and Joan for your actions on the newsletters in last week. The newsletter's been severely delayed because I have had a lot of stuff going at work and other things, friends in the hospital and all kinds of stuff. So I apologize for that. That's on me and it's not normal. But it's just kind of been the way it is. So we are going ahead with the newsletter, but we're not going to call it the winter issue. We're just going to put the month date on it. Adding some additional obits. It's kind of like the Death Watch newsletter this time.
Yeah.
There are six obits that are going to be in it. The lengthy article about the renovation project is going to be the main lead, and then the inside spread will be the Hello Again party. So that's kind of where we are with that. We have the graphics and printing contract, as is noted here, with
In-house
graphics to do not only graphics but provide printing services to us, and we have a not to exceed price. I forget what it is. Nick has that probably at the tip of
this newsletter.
So, in this next edition, in the next go round or edition of the newsletter, I'm going to be calling on some of the committee members for the communications committee to help with that, because I just don't have the bandwidth to herd all the cats. I'm going to need some help with that next time.
Do you feel confident that you have all the members you need on the communications committee?
Well, I would like to have at least another communications person. If you guys have an idea of someone else to bring in, that would be great. Otherwise, I could ask some of my colleagues here that are in the Salem area that might have an interest in it. The problem is most of the people that I know who would have an interest in the helping us are very busy doing work for other nonprofits as well.
Sure.
Monty Turner's and the Shannon Preams of the world are my first choices. So.
Okay. Let me add a few things, Ed, while you're able to stick with us. At the January, first of all, I might point out that we have a rule that says we're going to have four newsletters a year. And at the January meeting, we had kind of a communications plan, at least for the January newsletter, that it would get people more aware, the 1,600 people that we send it to, and the however many additional people read it online, that there was a hello party and its purpose. And we missed that deadline. And so then we were going to invite them to the birthday party, and we missed that deadline. And then we were going to invite them to the Cherry Blossom Festival, and then we've missed that deadline. And the winter January newsletter is now the April newsletter. And I know that you've been very busy. I worry, and we've had this conversation, that you've taken on too much, and I just haven't been able to delegate it to someone else, because you do such a beautiful job when you have the time to devote your attention to it. So I think we all understand that, but my concern going forward is that we have a communication plan that jives with everything else we're doing, informs our membership, our potential donors, as well as our existing donors, about what we're up to. It's a way of increasing awareness of the importance of having visitors to the Capitol, having exciting experiences that inspire them. It's an organ for that, for Oregon and its capital. And so I just want to hope that the committee can come up with a plan of not just newsletter, but how else to communicate. And do we need to hire out?
You missed that part.
Right. Oh, yeah.
He wasn't here for that discussion.
Oh, yeah. Ed, you missed the first discussion we had at the beginning of the meeting, and that was, what additional staffing or resources do we need, and was by committee? And it seems that perhaps you need some additional assistance, not necessarily from in-house. I don't know that they're great writers, but as you say, some other communications people. If we can find the right volunteer.
We need some doers.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's getting Joan said, not just people to steer these things, but actually do the production work. So, and that's where I've been kind of getting hung up, wrapped around the axle on this edition of the newsletter anyway, because of my new job's keeping me.
Right.
So,
right.
If the thing that I get concerned about is, however many staff positions we have, that impacts our budget. So, that's up to the whole executive committee.
Right, and that's.
I would think that when we become a stand, what did you call it, a stand apart?
Stand apart.
Whatever. 501c3, that we would have an executive director and some part time staff or something that would help with some of these needs. I noticed you guys talking about getting Julie help with some of the communications work that she does and.
Right. Jenny?
Thank you, Ed. I appreciate that. But for purposes of where we are for the next couple of months, is there a mailing date for the April issue set? Are we that far along?
The April issue is it still needs some tweaks, and so I don't exactly know what the mailing date will be, but it will be in the next week or two.
Is there?
So that's because I have to still get together with in-house, and I haven't had a chance to do that so far this week. But it's on my list of things to do, and then they'll need a week or a few days to get it to the printer.
So are the tweaks formatting and graphics, or are they content?
There is some of it content that needs to be written, but that generally does not take me long to do. So
okay. Okay, and then secondly, what's the game plan for the next quarter? Have you guys had a chance to talk about that?
Haven't had a chance to talk about that yet.
Okay, thank you.
Ed, I got the material on the obituaries, and I can write something on the ones that aren't already done and try to be brief about them. And can we have that conversation tomorrow morning? Before you go to work? Okay. Thanks. Anyone else here as far as communications committee goes? Jane?
Can any of us help with writing anything? Anything else? What do you
need?
Well,
I think we need to worry about. Go ahead, Ed.
The problem right now is that we have, because of the length of the some of the articles that we have in this edition, space is very limited. So that's one of the things that I need to work. costs when we get the bids written is where we need to make cuts in other sections in order to, in other articles, in order to be able to fit everything in. I mean, we have 8 pages, and we have more than 8 pages of the content. So one of the suggestions that I made to Brett the other day is because printed newsletters are really a dying communication form. People, we spend a lot of money and a lot of effort doing printed newsletters when we could be every quarter, when we could be doing a once a month or once every 2 weeks, email message to our supporters that would give them news and more digestible bits. You know what I mean? So it's like we could send it through either Gov Delivery or Constant Contact or
I think that's what I.
Base program, whatever.
Those are good ideas, and that's what I'm talking about when I'm suggesting we need a communications plan that spreads the wealth and the onus of communication that is dynamic in regards to our development efforts, as well as keeping our membership informed of, who's passed. I think that, I don't hate being the list of obituaries, but I think it is useful for people to be remembered, and not just electeds, but lobbyists and staff, because we're all.
And it would be far easier to do that electronically, because then we
right.
can provide a
link
to the family's obituary, which
right.
has all of the biographical details and all of that sort of
right.
thing. And we could link our own message and
right.
honor them in our own way.
Okay, so I think that's something we need to think about.
Chair.
Sharon?
Yeah. Okay. Ed, this is Sharon. I just wanted to offer to you, if you need help with editing, my sub, Mary's an amazing editor.
Okay.
To write on that. And then secondly, I've been trying to do monthly e-alerts, help Nick and I have together just to promote the events as a minimum, at the Capitol. And our software that we've got is very limited. If we're going to do monthly newsletters or, e-alerts or whatever, we would be much better investing in, Constant Contact, where you can do your spam testing and all those things. I just am appalled at the limitations, what the software can do. It's just not there.
Is that the Bloomerang?
Yeah, Bloomerang. You can't even time the out, or drop it. You can't test the spamming. I mean, I'm used to doing all this using Constant Contact. And so, I
right.
would just encourage
so
us.
Bloomerang is not the way to go, but Constant Contact.
That's what I'm trying to say, or another product, but
okay.
similar to those features. And I know Nick has been frustrated with that too.
There's another nonprofit that I work with, and we use Constant Contact.
Yeah,
and it works extremely well.
You could just export out. So yeah,
Fred, maybe we could ask for Ed to get the communications committee together and bring us a recommendation for the June meeting.
Sounds good. And
that's perfect.
And when would you?
This newsletter out of my way, and focus on how to be better communicators rather than just
doing newsletters,
kind of repeating where we're going, and
right,
right.
And kind of getting wrapped around the axle. When Nick and I, when I had more time with the newsletter,
okay.
and I was working with Nick, and Nick was carrying a lot of the load of the newsletter. Also, we kind of ran into the same problem last year, around the same
right.
time of year, because with all of the
holidays.
Legislative events and all the things that were happening, it's difficult for us to manage our workloads and the work of the Capitol Foundation as
right.
well. So we ended up, with a very late newsletter then as well. So
right.
It's a challenge, especially this time of year.
Understood. Gary?
Ed, since we've got a little time, would you email me my article on the Capitol Renovation Project? Can you do that? Because we did receive some input that I thought was pretty good late, and we included it in the frequently asked questions piece. I just want to make sure it matches up with the newsletter article.
Yeah, I had.
Yeah, that's another one of the things I need to do is look at the FAQ and make sure that it jives.
I will do that because it's done. The frequently
right.
asked questions
it's
piece
out.
Is it's done.
Right.
And I just want to be sure that that everything matches up.
Right. We're going to hold the building committee report from Gary until Kevin and Marina can join us about 11:45. So, and at this point, because Jolene's here, and she's got a wealth of information for us with Herb on the History Committee, I'm going to move to the History Committee report. Thank you, Ed.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thanks,
appreciate it. I'll be back after I'm finished with my other call. Thank you.
All right.
Mr. Chair.
Yeah, Jerry. Jerry.
Okay.
Jerry.
I'd like to, for certain, kudos goes to Julie and whoever else was involved in the hello party, the birthday party. And while I was not there, I followed it everywhere I could on the internet, the Cherry Blossom Fest. It looked to me like all three were outrageous successes. And I think there's a lot of kudos due to whoever worked on all of those.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jerry.
Yeah. Would you convey that to Marnie, Julie? Mm-hmm.
And Miss Judy.
All right. Her.
Okay.
Yes. Wait, Mr. Chair. One last thing on communications. Were we supposed to do something about the graphics contract and printing contract?
Actually, we're not there yet with Doug.
Okay.
He's working on it. And, but I think we're aware that we're trying to have an open printing contract, both for the gateway and for the foundation, for graphics and printing, so that we don't have to have a go out for three bids on every job.
And that will help the event committee as well.
Right. Kind of smooth things out a bit.
Right.
And give us one big budget on printing and graphics rather than little nickel dime items. Herb.
I'm going to ask Jolene to come sit close to one of the microphones.
Great, so that Jerry can hear. That's a great idea.
Okay. Okay, first thing is that we have $10,000 that's going towards a oral and video history project. We've met with LAC. We know the format now to do the project. Because it's $10,000, there's some thresholds that we do not have to meet as far as contracting, so we can find three vendors that we think we would like to work with, send the proposals to them, and get their responses. AP Annette Price is working on a description of the work to be done that will go out in that contract. We also want to get some input from anyone else on the history committee, so we make sure that we've got all the captured all the ideas that we want to of what this whole history project needs to look like, and so that should be rolling in the very very near future. We are working on now trying to get started on phase two of our gateway project. First thing we need to do in that, well, let me let Jolene talk to you first about where we are. Go ahead and update them on that.
Okay. Jolene Poppinga, I'm the Visitor Services Supervisor for the Capitol and the Project Manager for the Gateway. We have three projects currently open. The first one is web design and content for the Capitol History Gateway that has kicked off, and the timeline on that for completion is July 31st. We also have a virtual tour and introductory tour for the building. That project is also open. In fact, they'll be in the building in the next week filming and interviewing some of you as well as others. And that is scheduled to be completed by July 31st as well. And then the third contract we have open is part two of the exhibit design. As some of you may know, we did have three exhibits open for in February, and we have another four scheduled to open. Along with that contract is also the brochure design and the visitor's pathway. So the script for when our visitors come through the building will be written as well. That contract, we do need to extend that. Everything will be completed by the 31st of October as far as the design piece. And then it would be go into fabrication. And in the event that the foundation decides to move forward with fabrication on the exhibits, that would be completed by the 31st of March. So that's where we're at right now.
And some of those decisions depend on whether or not we go ahead with the capital renovation. So we're keeping track of where we stand with that, and we're not going to do anything that would waste money and not be able to be moved if we have a location that we want to move these to. Along those lines, somehow we need to think about where we want these temporary locales to be. There has been discussion that the library would be a good place to do that. We need to know who should really be contacting the library to make that happen. Is that a function of the foundation, or should we not say anything until the construction is really?
I think preliminary discussions are out of order. Just check and make sure there's possibilities. The Heritage Center has also been suggested. There may be
archives.
Maybe room there. There may be room at archives. We want certainly visitor. I have the feeling that there aren't going to be a lot of school kids or visitors at the PUC building, or whatever it's, the new name is, it's a number, street number, the 540 building, that even when the legislature's in session, because there's not even going to be galleries there to watch it. So it's probably, they're going to be tight for space there, and we wouldn't really, they wouldn't be useful. Whether visitors are going to go out of the way to come to the mall and go to the library to see Capital History Gateway exhibits is also, I think, a little iffy compared to the Heritage Center, where there's already educational material. It's useful for school kids as well as tourists.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair, I think that we can, if the legislature approves the building renovation, I mean, where we go is part of the overall plan for vacating the building on the timeline that's set, and I think the building's not vacated under the current plan until sometime in 16, so I think we have time and we don't have to figure out the where's just now.
Okay. Right. Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Jane.
Thanks. I think another thing that was talked about also was some sort of informational exhibits in front of the building to watch what's going on with the renovation, which would probably be something that school kids would be fascinated with, which isn't too far from the library or other stuff on the mall. So I think that's another
thing to plug into it. Yeah.
Well, it seems like the public affairs portion of the contract would want to jump on something like that.
Gary?
These exhibits that we're putting together, are they timely exhibits? I mean, because we're not going to be back in the building for 3 years. Are they going to, is their usefulness going to be expired by then? Or
No.
Be
history.
These are participation in democracy.
Okay, so are these kiosks, interactive kiosks, kind of?
Sort of like the things that are down in the gallery and now along that same line. I think similar to that.
And democracy is timeless. Sharon.
I just wanted to raise a couple points. In my experience, most museums are committing to their exhibit space 2 years out.
Oh, okay.
So I would advise you to, if we think we have a couple sites, we need to start those conversations.
Right.
That's helpful.
Yeah.
And then the second thing is I don't know about the contract award for part two. I think you But I'm just wondering, though, if you want to expand that scope of work to include the messaging on the outside interpretation that Jane just discussed, so you're ready. You know, they could just come up with a concept or messaging by expanding the scope of work. I'm not saying fabricate or anything, but then at least you know what you're looking at price-wise and can get an estimate.
Okay, good ideas. Yes, Jerry?
This is off the wall, but have we given any consideration to erecting a temporary structure somewhere in the mall, like park or across the street or wherever, that people could automatically stroll through?
I do have a comment on that, Jerry. Brian Nelson, the park manager, has asked that question, whether or not that was being considered. So it has been forwarded to the administrator.
That's a great idea.
I think it's something we should consider.
Ear to ear.
Sure.
Yeah. because it combines all of the above.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And certainly we still have visitors to the mall, regardless of, and maybe even more so when the renovation starts to take place. Very good.
You'll be watching the construction, and you can even keep updated posters in the temporary structure that explains the construction.
Right. No, very good.
Online.
And it's just a block away from the PUC building. Okay. Good.
Phase two.
Okay. Herb, now to phase two.
Now to keep us on track and to get phase one completed and go into phase two, we would like to retain the services of Dr. Busey, who is, we think has done an excellent job so far. It would cost us about, it cost us $2,500 a month for services, and we'd like to do a month-to-month contract so that we're flexible in knowing whether, stop because of construction or keep going, that sort of thing. And he's open to that. So I would like to move that we fund a contract, $2,500 per month for 1 year for the services of Dr. Busey.
All right. We have a 2014 to 2015 budget, and then we have a 2015 to 2016 budget. And what do we have now, Julene, for Dr. Busey, and when does that contract expire?
So the current contract for Dr. Busey expires July 31st. It is $2,500 a month, and that is in the current budget.
What? So we'd only be talking about the 2015-2016 budget.
Correct.
Right. Is this, do we need to take action now in order to assure Dr. Busey that we want him after July 1?
That would be, certainly up to you, but I do know that Dr. Busey does other contracts, and he only takes so many. He is a small business party of one.
Right.
And so if that is something that the foundation wants to do, that would be,
absolutely.
I would recommend at least going into conversation with him and ask him.
I think what we would do, rather than trying to adopt or amend a budget that does not yet exist for Jerry, that we take, I entertain a motion from Herb that we as an executive committee take action today to inform Dr. Busey we wish to extend his contract on a month-to-month basis for an additional 12 months beyond the current expiration of his contract.
Correct.
Is that what?
Yes.
Is Herb's motion.
So moved.
To the motion, any discussion? Jerry, are you comfortable with that approach? So.
Yes, I am.
All right. I think that's a good way to keep the budget intact for next year, and also let Dr. Busey know we love him. any comments? Any objections, Ginny?
This is a question.
Yeah.
So does phase two start, Herb, on July 1?
No, it's there's some overlap between going from phase one into phase two. And what we're trying to do right now is really define what phase two is going to look like. So that's part of what Dr. Busey is going to be doing for us.
So when does phase one?
I think the last of phase one is by October. Is that?
Yes, October 31st.
Virtual tour, yeah.
Is the design phase.
Yeah. Right. Now, Herb, are you, let's dispose of the motion. Any objection? Hearing none. Thank you. And do you want me to call Dr. Busey? Do you want to inform him or Herb talk to Dave?
We'll do that.
All right. Herb and Jolene will talk to Dave Busey and let him know how much his services to date are greatly appreciated, and we expect more from him, a lot more. Now, Herb, are you prepared to discuss at all briefly the Capital History Gateway Phase 2 Development Focus Group and its deliberations, or Jolene? Just simply that it's underway. This is something that Jerry kind of started with Ginny, and that Jolene and Dave and Sharon have taken on to help us project what our future needs are for the gateway. And some juicy stuff to look forward to. some of which is contingent on whether the renovation goes through, and we assume that it will, but we can't rely on that until the time cometh. So just FYI, that will then be reviewed by the History Committee, by the Gateway Council.
And by the Foundation.
Yes, and by the administrator, and then come back to the full Foundation for some action. But that, I just want everyone to understand that planning process is underway. It's also informative to our development efforts and to future use of the Pacific Wonderland license plate revenues. Okay. So now we're ready for, no, I keep losing mine.
Okay.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Development Committee, Jenny.
Thank you. Thanks, Jolene.
I'm sure, and thank you, Jolene, yeah.
Development Committee had meetings in both February and March. I'm just going to go through and give you a quick highlights of where we are on a number of things. We have completed with Sharon and Nick's help, we've completed getting at least a start on updating databases and lists. We have done a group brainstorm on prospects for cultivation for the next year based on a descending list of contributors, high to low. Some of those we've dumped into a new list that we'll now pursue for sponsorships in the case of some businesses, or with individuals either looking to ask them to give more or on a more consistent basis consider a legacy gift or be part of an endowment. So we have in hand an outline of a plan for major gifts and prospects. Secondly, we have completed, unless somebody tells me differently in this group, a final draft of the case statement, which all of you should have as part of your meeting materials, which we will begin to use starting this month with some of the major foundations around the state, including Meyer, the Oregon Community Foundation, and others. So thanks to the Gateway folks for sort of pushing forward with identifying things that would be useful to have additional development dollars for. I think the material looks great.
Ginny, I have a couple of questions at the appropriate time. Finish your report.
Go ahead.
Okay. I guess one question is the resource needs is looking good based on the work that's been done. What I'm trying to figure out is how the amount of money we have and the amount of money that's listed here, how do they jive? I mean, how much of the 1.145 do we have now, and how much do we need to raise?
Well, you'd have the Gateway money.
Because that's
definitely
license
in.
Plate money.
Your Gateway money, yeah.
Okay, and so when that gets explained, I mean,
what you do, yeah. And the reason you don't put it in print here is because it depends on who you're meeting with,
okay,
what they're interested. You know, we'll take this and listen, and then what do people want to hear, and then you respond to it in a more specific proposal.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
And then the second question I had is looking at the back and the form. I was trying to figure out if we should have our giving levels there that we approved. We should.
This hasn't been formatted professionally yet, just so you know. This is just a Word doc until we improve content.
Okay.
Just and then we
content.
Figure out if we want to have, you know, pay somebody, a graphic designer to.
Okay, so then we'll have our empire and
but
our.
While we're shopping around with the foundations,
fine.
We won't put those on there yet,
okay,
because this is still informative.
Okay.
Fact finding.
Perfect.
Thanks.
Those are my questions.
Okay, thank you. The next item is, I want to talk a little bit about the endowment. We have identified about 100 persons that we think could be interested in being founding members of an endowment. The threshold for the Oregon Community Foundation to accept management responsibility for a fund is $25,000. So that is what we're initially after. We, as the committee, has decided that we would like to go to the April Foundation meeting and make this a proposal that we move forward in May with an ask to these 100 or so persons on our list. And in addition, we would invite all current and former foundation members to make sure that we don't overlook people who have been in this foundation business and love of the capital since the very beginning in the late 90s. So that would expand the list slightly. And we have developed a letter and an invitation for those people, and so we will ask at the foundation meeting for approval to go ahead with launching an endowment ask. Questions?
Do we need to take action on that with an executive committee?
Okay. Policies are underway. You're going to hear a little bit more about policy development from the governance committee between Joan and Sharon and development. I think, got a pretty comprehensive list. Those are the kinds of things that we can pursue immediately in preparation for 2037 passing and have in hand well ahead of September. So all of that is underway. As I mentioned, records and database updates are in the works. It's a bit of a slog, but that's partly just because there are lots of ways that people have given money over the last decade or two, and they move from one address to another, or they're lobbyists one day and they're retired the next day. So it's just a matter of getting through that. We have also looked at donor recognition and stewardship ideas and programs. Many of those will be reflected in the policy statements that are being developed. That is, how do you make sure that you are taking care of people who are contributing money or being sponsors or are just people that we want to make sure that we stay close to. Sharon will do an additional skill building exercise at the April meeting, same kind of a format, about 30 minutes. So we need to build that in, Mr. Chair, if
yes.
That would be acceptable. The development work plan is on track. Some things are a little ahead, some things are a little behind, but all in all, I think we are in a good place. On my to-do list is to do a better job of spreading out the thank you responsibilities. We experimented with this with the development committee. In addition to what Jane was doing as chair, what Fred does as chair with the official thank yous from the foundation, we've been asking the development committee to also weigh in with a phone call or a quick note or whatever. I haven't been as diligent as I need to be to push out the lists of who of the assignments for members, but I think it's a very nice idea, and we want to keep that up. And the other thing that we haven't done is the one-on-one visits with each of the foundation members about their annual commitments and sort of follow up on the year-end ask. So no excuses, just haven't done it. We'll try to get after that with a little more diligence. So that's the report. I think the only action item, and I'm not sure it requires a motion at the foundation meeting, but would be on the development or on the endowment, moving ahead with launching the endowment ask.
My preference would be that we have some formal enunciation of it, like that triggers a discussion, and that the motion would be inherent in that.
Great. I'd love to do it that way.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's a great way. I want to formalize it. It's a big step, I think, to initiate an endowment, and let's do it as a full body. The other thing, not to get ahead of us on the agenda, but for the 15th, the thought is, because the legislature's in session, our legislative members would be more likely to attend if we told them that the things that would be of most interest to them would be over the noon hour, and they could have lunch here rather than in the Senate or House lounge. And I think this is a great, I think the endowment is a great thing for them to hear. So I would be sort of where I'd posit that. Gary?
Say again what the endowment's going to throw off some money that's going to support what?
Our future 30 years from now.
Okay, so it's not designated at this point. No, it's just to create the endowment.
Get correct. A roll. Mm-hmm. Correct.
Boom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You specifically want it not designated. That's
right.
That's the key.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're just going to go into a. It's going to just continue to grow.
Right.
Right.
Correct. And we've identified. There may be others, but the Oregon Community Foundation seems like the logical place to go. Mm-hmm. Sharon has prepared the application. That's where the 25,000 threshold comes in. So in order for Max to even say, yeah, we'll entertain the possibility that you can be one of our funds, we have to be ready to hand over 25K. So that's...
And this is where Jerry and Tony and others are going to come in handy. If the license plate monies are opened up, again, they're only good for another 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And do we go back and ask for a license plate again? I would. I'm not sure that I'm in favor of that. I may not be around, but that's for somebody else to decide. I'd like monies now from if we have the ability to use them for general purposes, some portion of that to go to the endowment so that we can sustain past the end of the total of $80,000 license plates. I think there'll be time for plenty of other discussion about whose responsibility the visitor's experience to the Capitol is. But okay.
Bottom line is, just remember, on $1 million endowment, it's going to generate $50,000 a year, so it's really not a lot of annual revenue for perpetuity investment, which is what an endowment is.
Very good.
Chair, one question,
Jerry.
Jenny.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay, Jenny. This is. Admittedly, up front, nitty gritty, and you're probably way ahead of me. But have you built into any of your fundraising ideas, particularly with our friends, when we don't get a contribution in the year when we solicit, that there be a follow-up contact, whether it be by letter, computer, personal contact, whatever, why we haven't heard from them?
It's on our list. We haven't done anything about it. I think we're still kind of sorting through at what point do we make that follow-up on every $25 or $35 friend or bigger but open to suggestions, because we need to have some kind of a mechanism to follow up.
Jerry,
also it's a means of making sure we get their contribution, but it is also a means of updating lists.
Yes,
correct.
Jerry, this is Sharon. Just a quick follow-up. One of the ambiguous things that Nick and I have talked about a lot is what constitutes an annual gift? You know, is it a calendar year? Is it a physical year? If you gave in April every year? So we've been trying to push it into a calendar year, and then everything that we correspond with people right now, you'll find there's a subtle ask in it. So, whether it's the newsletter or emails, whatever, it's like, oh, by the way.
Right. And the calendar is an issue when it comes to the biennial hello party. The way we trigger additional friends is to say, all right, it's 35 if you're not a friend, and 25 of that makes you a friend. Well, that comes in February, whereas a lot of people have already sent us $25 in December, prior to the end of their previous tax year. So
we're looking at all those trends trying to track put some boundaries to things in a non-offensive way.
Great. Thank you, Jenny.
Very nice. Welcome.
Again, we're going to hold up the building committee report until Kevin and Marina Creswell can join us. We're going to meet Marina. So we're not giving Gary short shrift, if people were wondering. he's aware of that.
I can go next.
I'm going to move to governance now.
Special
events. Sorry.
Special events.
Oh, thank you.
I'm going to cross that
off. I'll be very quick, I promise.
No, please. No problem.
So as you heard, the Cherry Blossom Day, which we are considering changing to Cherry Blossom Festival, like it used to be, the historical festival, it was a huge success, and I understand the Japanese dancers was fabulous.
Yes, oh yeah.
And, shoot, never mind. Of course, you had to start doing that. And I also heard the kimono. Fred was here. You could give us the first-hand
experience. It was spectacular. It's a little slow start introducing the vice consul from Japan. It's in the mayor of Salem because people were already getting Ben and Jerry Cherry Garcia ice cream out front. And that seemed to be a big draw. But we got it started, and it took off from there. There was also a race that happened. I guess there was the Cherry Run. Is that right, Nick?
Yeah.
That brought other people by and closed down Court Street. I went to a funeral for Lorraine Leverich.
I saw that.
After I made introductions, but came back at one to see that hundreds more people had arrived. And they were really entranced by the Japanese drumming. They're getting a great round of applause there. And then the kimono fashion show and the Japanese dancing was traditional dancing. Had everybody just silently in rapture. The steps in the rotunda were packed with people, and both entrances were jammed with people. They danced around the Great Seal, which was a great image, and I think a lot of it got captured on video and film, and we'll get to see pictures of it anon.
Was the crowd such that maybe next time, if the weather's nice, that you don't want to do it outside? Was it too much to be inside?
It was not too much. No, we weren't overcrowded. I think that acoustics are better inside, obviously. What I'd really like is for the weather to cooperate so that the cherry blossoms are in full bloom.
Right.
Because they weren't by last Saturday. Judy and then Joan.
No, that's okay. Go ahead.
Who organized the 5K run?
I don't know. Julene could tell us.
Or
she,
Marnie, yeah.
She left, and I told her I could do it on
okay,
my own.
I was just
but
curious,
I didn't have an
that's
answer
a lot of
that.
Work, and it's great.
And
that
we are going to need an action item on this, too.
Yes. Right.
And I think, Fred, you already talked to Julian. It's $1,000.
Right. If you recall our last executive committee meeting and fund meeting where we made the appropriation for $10,000 for the oral history, and then we adjourned, and then Joan said, well, we need some money for the Cherry Festival. I thought, okay, next time. Well, this is next time.
Yeah.
We've already had the Cherry Festival. We're not out a whole bunch. We've agreed that it's gateway money because of the heritage aspect to
right,
it and
right,
the
right.
multicultural
right.
aspect to it. And Jolene, we thought at first that our share was going to be about $1,100. So much was donated that we probably are only going to come to about $500. Mm-hmm. But rather than to be on the safe side in case some other bills come in, Judy makes a motion that the executive committee appropriate and budget $1,000 for the Cherry Blossom Day event out of Gateway funds. Thank you, Judy, for the motion.
Question,
Jerry. Go ahead.
The $1,000 comes out of the 2014-15 budget.
Yes, ma'am.
Do you want it for 2015-16, or do you need it?
We do, but that's in the budget that I think Judy's mm-hmm. already given you.
That's correct. I think what we did in our committee, we identified four different events that we definitely wanted to co-sponsor with the Capitol, and for $2,500 for each of those events. And that's not to say that we don't want to co-sponsor any other events. We want to co-sponsor every event at the Capitol. At least that's my feeling.
Right.
But we aren't going to be laying out any money except for those four. And because of our biennial budget or, our, you know, the fact that we go from July to June, we still have a couple of events left this year. And then next year, we'll have a couple more that comes out of the next budget period.
Which you sent to
I sent,
Jerry.
Yes, Jerry has all of that information. Right, Jerry?
Not down here in the sunshine.
Oh, okay. Oh. We feel so badly for you.
Oh.
We sort of had sun out today.
But I'll track that, Jerry, when the budget committee meets, because I know where the memo is and the amount.
Yeah, well, I've got it at home. But
okay.
One more comment.
Go ahead.
If I may.
Yes, please.
And this has nothing to do with the motion, so you may want to do
all right.
the motion, Mr. Chair.
Get it out, Jerry. Get it out.
Okay, you know, the Cherry Festival was a big thing for Salem for many, many years.
Right.
We know.
They had the Cherians and boats and parades.
Parades.
If we do the Cherry Festival again, it might be fun to get some of that material from the Willamette Heritage. They've got beautiful pictures of
yes.
the Cherians and the floats and all that. And
I think
incorporate that into the festivity.
Some of that was available Saturday
yeah,
at the Galleria. What was more compelling, I thought, in display was the Japanese community in Salem and their history. And I didn't realize that Lake Labish had been heavy.
Oh, my gosh, yes. The Japanese history in Salem is
yeah,
deep.
Yeah, so.
I am so glad that you think the events committee, Judy, you at all, taken this on, because I think that could be a huge event for us here.
Absolutely.
I'm glad to accept the praise, but it doesn't belong to me. It belongs to Julene and to Marnie.
Yeah.
And I will also tell you that Joan Plank and I and Marnie all went to Salem City Council last week. It was before
right.
the event with Jackie Winters, who accepted the proclamation from the Salem mayor. It was quite wonderful. I had never been in the Salem City Council Chamber before. That was exciting. So,
well, and it's nice to have a partnership with the City of Salem.
It is,
too.
Absolutely. They are
parks,
fabulous to work with. So
right.
let me move on and give you the rest of this. We do have the Heritage Fair coming up May 28th, and so we are looking for volunteers. Some of the things that I want yes.
Let's. We have a motion.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I just.
I'm sorry.
Who of all people?
I know. I know. I just want to get
the secretary, former secretary of the Senate. Boy, she got relaxed in her retirement.
Yeah.
All right.
That's a good
thing. The motion, I don't think I need to repeat it, is before us. Are there any objections? Hearing none. So ordered.
Could we add it to the fund right. agenda?
Yeah, I have it down.
To the fund agenda,
yes,
right.
Thanks.
Yeah, yeah. It definitely
okay.
is in the fund agenda.
Okay. Now, Heritage Fair is the next
okay.
thing that we have coming up, and I am soliciting volunteers, but I think I know Joan is going to be there, and I will be there. It's on May 28th from, I think, 11 to 1. I think it's just a noon hour kind of Herb, okay. So yeah, Herb
and Ms. Bell has participated in the past, so you
okay.
might check
and
with
I'll,
her.
I'll check
Anyone
with
else
her
is interested?
Too.
Yeah,
it depends
I've done it
on
in the past. I'll do it again. Yeah.
Where I am in the scheme of my house and that kind of stuff.
I'll be happy to volunteer if you need it.
Okay, Jerry, thanks.
What day it is.
Okay.
And
it always gets a good turnout, and it's a great opportunity.
So some of the items, in fact, when I saw this golden opportunities, this might be something we could have on our table.
Oh, yeah.
To say nothing of this other fabulous, because I was looking for something about what's going to happen with our renovation, and this is perfect.
Great.
And so I don't really have to look any further for those, but I wanted
Jerry,
to have those
she's,
at the
Judy's waving around the FAQ.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
For the table. And we also plan to do the beaver coins and the quiz like you guys did the right. other time. And the next event that we're talking about that we're co-sponsoring with the Capitol will be the concert in the park. And according to Julene, Salem Chamber Music, whatever their name is, I'm not sure, are talking about a small group rather than the whole orchestra or whatever, which I think is still worth going after. We still want to participate. I don't know how much that's going to be.
And would that be before July 1?
July 11th, I think. All right, is.
All right. So,
so it would be out of the next.
Right. And we'll have some idea by June.
Yeah, we'll figure out what if there's going to be any cost. I'm not even sure that there would be any cost in unless they're going to have you know, ice
so
cream.
So it'd be an evening or on a weekend?
We haven't talked about that. I think Julene's still trying to recover from Cherry Blossom Festival.
Okay. What are the nice things
Saturday.
About the, both the birthday party and the Cherry Blossom Festival is that they occurred on a Saturday and the building then was open to the public.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So the
yes.
families, working parents or school attending children can come to the Capitol
yes.
and appreciate it. And it's always so uplifting to me to see them.
Yeah.
And it's a joy to have the building open to the public when the bureaucrats and the politicians aren't necessarily here, but that the building can be experienced and enjoyed by the general public. I know that the legislature ain't got the money to keep this place open every weekend, but the more we can assist in making that happen, the happier I am.
Okay, one more thing on my little list, and that is we are still researching the idea or talking about the idea of having something at Mahonia Hall centered around the tree lighting ceremony, the holidays at the Capitol. Mm. And it hopefully would be some kind of a fundraiser, but my committee is going to be meeting on May 8th. And so I think that'll be one of the things we really want, because I want to get Mahonia Hall
mm-hmm. booked
and figure out what's, because I don't even know what's happening now, who it is that does the stuff. So we do want to, and we want to figure out the dates. I know that the tree lighting is going to be on December 1st, and it's not clear to me whether we want to do it that same night or if we want to. And I think Mahonia gets decorated right around the same time as the Capitol. So there's just a lot of things to kind of work out. We need to look at that.
Okay. Gary.
Is the concert in the park in Wilson Park?
Yes.
Good. All right. Herb.
Something that goes along with events. For the past couple of Heritage Fairs, we've been giving away the coins that we had made. Mm-hmm. I think we're getting low on those, if I'm...
There's still like at least 50 of them upstairs or 100, aren't there?
We still have quite a few.
Do
I don't have an exact number, though.
Yeah. We can okay.
Do you know how many you gave out last time?
About 50.
Yeah,
oh, that's not bad.
We could limit it, too, if we needed to. We could bring 50 and see when they're gone.
There.
Yeah.
Well, I guess the other thing I was going to bring up, is there another object that we could have made, or is there something available through the gift shop that we might want to purchase through the foundation to have for Judy's kind of functions?
I've asked Jolene to explore, and we've got a quote from the vendor, but I wanted to talk to Sharon about it, too, is lapel pins. I was kind of surprised at the cost of them,
okay.
And I was more thinking of those were for mm-hmm. foundation members as a way to...
What was the price?
Oh, I'm just shaking my head no, that donors don't want those anymore. Right. I mean, it's a past experience that used to work.
You had the
well.
Metal one, right?
I got the one that the gift shop does carry, and it costs $6.
Mm-hmm.
But I wear it on my lapel, and it engenders quite a few conversations. Isn't that the Oregon State Capitol? Why do you have that on your lapel? And then I can explain to them what the foundation is and why and what we do. Since gotten quite a few comments.
I think we're good on the beaver coin for this
year.
I would encourage you guys to do right now is when we have these events is you're doing the little quizzy, but also collect people's names in a bucket or something for a drawing and do some drawings on our product, which is our CD.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Give away what we have. Because, see, then you're getting names, you're expanding your database, you're bringing people in to get them passionate about your work and mission. That's what you got to do.
Okay. So we could develop from that a list of people's names and emails.
Well, yeah, that's what you want to collect them. So you have a little form or tell them to draw, just this plain white paper, you just have it there. Now people drop them in a jar or whatever.
Right.
It's whatever you have.
Great idea.
Yeah, it's a great idea, Sharon. Thank you.
For now.
Okay.
Great.
Because we can do that for May.
Okay, I'm going to move to nominations rather than governance because of waiting for Kevin Marina. I would recommend that we each grab a lunch. Those of us that are in the room. Jerry. If you're going to start eating down there, you can put yourself on mute. So let's take up nominations. You want to check with Kevin?
Or nomination?
Yeah, I sent him an email.
Okay. Let's do nominations.
With lunch?
With lunch. You want to take a 2-minute break to get lunch?
Looks like.
All right, let's do that. I think so. Nominating committee, Gary.
Well, in your packets, you have a written April 15th nominating committee report. I don't think it's necessary for me to read it. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to respond.
And we need to vote on that as a full foundation on the 15th.
That's correct.
Good. So we'll add that.
So this is just, I don't know what action the executive, I guess you got to approve it to put it on the agenda for the nominating committee, or for the full foundation. There are five people that are being reappointed, two new people being appointed, and one person being granted emeritus status.
Carrie, could you remind me what our policy is regarding the emeritus status?
We're working on it.
I think it's primarily up to the foundation to bestow that upon one of its members, and it's generally based on a long period of service, and then when they exit the actual foundation, or if you want to call it the board of directors, you can, when they exit and go off into the great beyond, then we can grant them emeritus status. As far as I know, we've only done it for two. And this will be the third.
We have a current policy, but we're going to update it. But you're right.
Okay.
Have we violated it?
10 or more years of service, extraordinary meritorious contributions for the mission of the foundation, recognition from outside for noteworthy contributions. We're fine. Designated by the board, election by the foundation. I think we're in pretty good shape.
All right.
3 months before the nominee's retirement. That didn't happen, but we'll fix it.
Well, we are. Well, July 1.
Okay.
April, May, June, April 15th. That's close enough for government work.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll take a look at it.
Phrase, not my most favorite.
The intent maybe is not clear on this written report, which I am responsible for, is that Vern Duncan would not actually become emeritus until he's, off the foundation.
Term expires.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was his bill that originally created the foundation.
Mm-hmm. And I think we will note that when we make the motion.
So do we need to...
He was
no, I think we're fine. We just sponsor. It's on the agenda.
Okay. He was given the bill and asked to be the chief sponsor.
Yes.
Oh. Yes.
If people ever want to know the history of that, it actually came from Frankie Bell.
Yeah, I know that. But she was talking about it years before that.
It came and she was frustrated because she thought about it for a long time. It had never been done, and that was the year that I went into the staff for the Senate President's office. And I said to Frankie when she was complaining to me about it, let's go get a bill. So we got Vern to be the chief sponsor, and we got a bill from Legislative Council,
mm-hmm.
and it passed.
Okay, they're going to be here. Kevin and Marina will be here shortly, and so I don't really want to put Joan in the spot, get started, and then have to stop, knowing how precious their time is. Gary, why don't you go on the nominations?
Yeah.
No, I think we're not going to take action on that. You'll do that at the April 15th meeting. Right.
You don't want to.
No action is necessary at this point. No, here we go.
There they are.
They should be fine. Over here, I'll just put the speakers down. Okay.
Do you want to introduce her?
Okay.
Let me start it, okay. All right.
Hey, guys, you're looking vibrant.
Okay, Jerry and Ed. Ed, you're still with us?
Yes, sir.
Okay, great. Kevin Hayden and Marina Creswell have just joined us, and I think welcome. We're just getting ready to let Mr. Wilhelms tell us about the renovation project and other good things that the building committee has undertaken, but you are the main sources of information on that.
That's correct.
And we are happy to recognize you and welcome Ms. Creswell. It's a
thank you.
I wanted the executive committee at least to
really
meet you. There is one. She's been giving us great input online, but not and on the phone. But. Kevin?
Well, good morning. Sorry, obviously, well, good morning. Is it still morning? For another couple of minutes, it's still morning. It's been an exciting morning today with all of the fun downstairs in Hearing Room 50. And
gun control day here.
Are you packing this morning?
Oh, is that
what it is? I am
full.
Going to neither confirm nor deny the presence of any weapons. But no, thanks for the opportunity because, again, these are some of the happier days for me that I get to introduce to those of you who haven't had a chance to meet Marina yet as the project director for the capital renovation project. So you no longer have to have me stumble through kind of my misinterpretation of what everybody says because she's oh so much smarter than I am.
Wow. No pressure.
It's a big
no
lead-in right there.
At all.
No pressure at all. Right.
So, I don't know, Gary. Were you going to tell us what was going on, or are you looking for?
The project director is in much better position to say what's going on. My part in this report will be to basically say that today is the day we're pulling the trigger on the Oregon State Capitol Foundation members making their contacts with legislators. Using the piece that we have produced.
Great.
Okay.
So,
okay.
From this day forward, I would expect, and I will say this again on the 15th, that all the members of the foundation, except maybe for two, have been given assignments, have volunteered or have been given assignments and agreed to those assignments to contact all 90 legislators to assess where they are. Whether they're going to vote yes or no, or whether they need more information to help them decide one way or the other. And we are here to help them make that decision. And the members are to report back to me, because I'm keeping the tally sheet. We are going to count votes, and we will count all 90. And the people who have responsibility for each legislator, after about a month or 6 weeks, will begin getting calls from me, like on a daily basis, to find out whether or not they have contacted that legislator. And assess where they are.
Okay.
Because I think it's very important that everybody gets a contact. And those of us who have lobbied or been in the legislature understand the value of actually going to somebody and looking at it and saying, here's the information. Are you okay? Are you not okay? What can I do to help you? And so forth. And that's going to be our role starting today. So I have nothing else to add other than to to ask for an update from you guys as to what's actually going on with the project.
Question.
To Gary.
All right, Herb. I thought I volunteered, but I haven't heard anything else. Should I have gotten something back?
There may be one or two. I'll check.
Okay.
I've got the list right here.
Okay.
I'll check before I
Thank
leave
you. Okay.
and let you know.
Okay.
One last question. Well, never mind. I'll find out later. Never mind.
All right. Let's Marina, give us an update on the project.
It's hard to know what to start with because I don't know.
Ed, can you hear her? She's not that close to the. No, it's not that mic. It's this phone mic.
Okay.
It should work. Okay. Go ahead. Sorry.
I don't know what your last update was, so I don't know where the starting point is to update you. I can certainly talk about the activities that we've got going on currently with the project. We completed what's called 100% DD, or design development documents, or detailed development. People have different definitions of DD. A couple weeks ago, including the review of those documents. So where the team is currently now is they have been going through all of the review comments to address any issues that were brought up in the review of the documents. They are moving ahead with construction documents, kind of starting the construction document phase to get everything ready for final packages in, I believe, September is when everything will be final. And bear with me as I've been here time-wise about a month. I have been here full-time for about 2 weeks, so I'm still kind of getting up to date on some of the specific dates of the schedule. Uh-huh. We are currently in the process. We have provided an early budget figure to the presiding officers based on the 100% DD documents. We are refining that number. As part of refining it, that means that I'm going through and looking at the scope of the work that is in the drawings, trying to understand not just what exactly we're doing, but why we're doing certain things. I'm asking a lot of questions of the team, challenging some of the assumptions. You know, as a new person, I bring in a fresh set of eyes, and so we've been going through several exercises over the last couple weeks of identifying things that maybe don't need to be in the scope of work and ensuring that we've got accurate costs for the things that should be in the scope of work. So we don't have a final figure yet. Is that the question that was coming?
I was going to ask the question. You said you gave a number to leadership. And so I was going to ask Gary if that number should be spread out.
Yeah. It was an early number with also a request that we look at some very specific items for potential removal from the scope. And those items, some of them have a greater impact than others. And so we're not at a point where we're providing a sort of a public number, if you will, because we're waiting for some direction back from the presiding officers about what they want to see in the final package of the design.
Can you give us some idea?
The FAQ has the language on page 2 that we vetted that is appropriate to use at this time. How much will the capital renovation cost?
Okay.
And there's your answer today.
Now, may
Thank
I,
you.
Thank
thought?
You. Yes, Gary.
But there's one thing in this whole project thus far that I am critical of. That's it. The Capital Master Plan Review Committee had a commitment from the person who is part of the contractors that's working on the project now, sat on our committee, made a commitment that there would be a guaranteed maximum price by December 31, 2014. That didn't happen.
That has not happened. That's correct.
And so then it became March. And then it became, Well, it's not really a guaranteed maximum price. It's we put together the documents and we give you an estimated construction cost.
We will have a guaranteed maximum price.
When?
I'll tell you right now that there are a couple things that we need to address on our side of things to ensure that we get an accurate guaranteed maximum price. Some of those things that come from our side will include things like insurance. What decision do we make regarding insurance? How much is the owner taking on in insurance or the various types of insurance? How much is being taken on by the contractor so that they know what to include in their price? That insurance question is not something that we want them to simply estimate. We want to give them very specific direction because it is such a big impact on the price. So that is one item that currently is outstanding. You can put that failure on me because I've asked that we really look at it very closely to ensure that we are providing the best results for the legislature, that we are protecting the legislature in the way that we should. Unfortunately, I think the nature of bringing in somebody new at this stage of the game, while I can certainly speed up some things and streamline some of the processes, I'm also needing to get up to speed and feel comfortable that we are doing things in the way I see them being done. That I want to take a professional responsibility for what we're doing, but in order to do that, I need to take some time to really look at and review those details. That's one of the details. We are going to have a guaranteed maximum price. I would like it to be sooner rather than later, because that is, there's a need for us to do that at a point where the contractor still has some skin in the game. So I am pushing for that to happen sooner, but there are a couple things that I need to tie down before I put the deadline on them for the GMP.
Mr. Chair?
We're all on the same side on this.
Yeah.
At least I think we are.
Yep.
I think we are.
And, I'm just being critical of that being one of those items pushed out because that's,
I understand.
That's one of the major questions that's going to come from the legislature. And I think we have, with your help, come up with wording that gets us pass that question when they ask it
for
the time being.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that the Capital Construction Subcommittee is now beginning to have hearings. They have not got to this project yet, and they probably won't until more toward the end of the session. But they are starting to have hearings. And I know they're being talked to, I think, by administration and other people. And they're going to be talked, some of those members are going to be talked to by some of us. And that's one of the questions, of course, they're going to need to know the answer to.
Understood.
But obviously, the legislative leadership has got a big role in that. And so, I'm not worried about it. It's just been one of those items that we thought and we were looking forward to having at the end of the year. And it's getting put off. There's no doubt good reasons for it. And they're probably on the legislature side of
if there are issues of scope, that certainly is going to affect.
It does affect the GMP.
Well, and the last thing I'd want to see done is give a guaranteed maximum price and then us have to cut a lot of the good stuff out of the project because in order to make it, if it's a bogey that we're
right.
Working for.
No, I want a good number.
We want the project to be right and know what it's going to cost us and then tell people the facts.
Right.
What it's going to cost and here's what you're going to get for it and it's good.
Okay, Jane.
Mr. Chair and Gary and Marina and Kevin and anybody else, here's what my question is. I have this list of 11 names that I have to talk to, legislators that I have to talk to. And then I've got the fact sheet, and it says on page 2, the contractor is pricing the current, and I'm assuming that this is a piece of paper that I'm going to hand to the legislator and staff. Okay. And it says the contractor is pricing the current drawings and will propose an estimated cost no later than April 2015, and the project will then, a team will then establish a recommended total project budget, and it's going to be up before your you for a vote in the capital construction bill, probably on the last day of the session. But, okay, so are you telling me that I'm supposed to take this, and then when my House member and my senator especially, and I also got Val Hoyle, Tina Kotek, with Fred, what am I supposed to tell them?
Well, you're going to...
And just say, okay, this is where we are now?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. This is what we know now.
That's
this
right.
is what we know now.
That's exactly
what
right.
What we now. Know now, they're working hard to get you the firm figure.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
You may be given a different answer to the first one on your list than you do to the last one on your list, because by the time you get there, you may have actually have the
right.
guaranteed maximum
okay.
price.
Okay.
Right.
We will have a guaranteed maximum price.
Okay.
But we did not want to say in that information a specific date on the guaranteed maximum price, and that was, again, that's on me. That was, you know, I need a little bit of time to figure out when that is.
We want you to be able to do it right, Maria.
Right.
Sharon?
Well, I was just going to say, if you would put as of on your date, on your header, see, that's kind of, that helps you with people with context of timing. And the language does say by April, which infers an April 1 deliverable, so you might want to change that at put... You know, put May,
in April.
Yeah, or just in April, so it's vague. Because I hear you, that's what you're trying to convey, but yet we're messaging something different than the wording.
Right. Well, we're going to get this out
much
sooner.
No, it's good. No, it's wonderful. It's a great
document.
But
we have some great input on it. It's as good as it's going to get for now.
It is a good idea.
Okay, so I really like Sharon's idea of putting a date on here.
That will change.
Yeah, because it is going to change.
Absolutely.
And where do we get additional copies of this so that we don't copy it on my ugly copy paper?
You're going to revise
Nick.
It.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nick's going to make more copies once he adds a date and changes it to
in
April.
Oh, well, hang on.
Gary?
Talking about throwing away the
No. We use the ones we've got, but to make more, we said we need more. We're going to make more. Let's
moving
add
forward.
That. We already have made 250
if you
copies.
You date it and it says April, you're okay. You don't need to change.
Herb.
But if you don't.
Gary knows more about this than I do. But it's been my experience within this building. Once you give somebody a figure, that's the figure you're stuck with. Even if you're saying preliminary, this is what we think about, around, if you say $300 million, you're not getting a penny more than $300 million.
That's the figure that's been out there, Herb.
That's already. What they're working
so
on. They can only
they're
do
working. They're only can see what
the
they can
unfortunate
do.
Just, thing is that figure has been out there already. So
over a year.
We...
Okay, but now I hear you say you're talking about cutting things. Can you give us an idea of some of the things that you're cutting? Because I know that the
prefer
the,
that we not have that discussion.
No,
that's really
no.
Not something we need
I think that what we've asked the presiding officers to do is to tell us what they want in the final package.
Yeah,
and that is at their direction. Is that they want to decide what's part of the final package. There are subtleties to the scope, and I think those are the things that we're asking them to weigh in on.
Well, and I think we need to respect that, and particularly as the foundation. If you want to have that conversation, I just informed her we can have that privately with you, but not in this meeting. Gary?
But are the drawings that are on display, I assume they're still on display, in the renderings of
350.
They were in 350.
The boards?
Are they on display anywhere?
Are you talking about the big boards that we used for for the meet and greet? Those are...
Well, two of them are currently displayed on the wall of our office. But I think as you've come in the last couple of times, you've probably gone right past them. We do have them available. They've been used for some of the briefings with different members. And so they weren't left in any one place. They've just...
Well, my question is, though... Do they accurately reflect the current thinking of the people working on the project and the leadership?
Yes, the primary components of the scope
and those are the pictures that represent about $300 million in cost, as I recall.
Approximately.
Yes.
Approximately, yeah.
Well, yeah, that about, that's...
The project has gone up from, you know, we have 34 and a half that we were already spending on the design phase. That was supposed to be part of the original estimate. And the original discussion was at 250. And we, most of us said it's going to be around 300. And this is way back before there were any drawings or anything else. And so now I understand that it might be a little more than 300.
We don't know.
It's not a shock, but we need to be honest about it. But I subscribe to the group that does not want to see the number cut down $10 million and wipe something out in the project that would be a good add
to the
project.
And, we're trying to understand. I think, it comes down to priorities.
Oh, yeah.
And there are things that you can put in the project that may hit one priority well, but that priority may not be as important as some of the others.
It may not be shared by everyone.
There are some things that were in the master plan goals that not everybody, I think, will agree on. I think everybody's going to understand the seismic. Unfortunately, the seismic is one of the biggest contributors of cost to the project. Taking things out of seismic is challenging to do because that was really what started the project in the first place.
Okay.
So, we've tried to look very closely at ensuring the scope is tight and that it aligns with the priorities that we have from the past to the extent that we know what they were and the priorities that we have now. So the current group of members, the people that actually be voting on it, how do we ensure that they can be comfortable with what's in the project? I think, it's important to understand that when the price was put out for the master plan, it was prior to doing any true investigations of the building or of the grounds.
Correct.
And when you're talking about seismic work in particular, knowing the condition of the building and the structural members of the building and how they all work together, and knowing the condition of the ground and how the ground is going to react in a seismic event is pretty significant. It really changes what you can do structurally to address seismic forces. So I think in the process of doing all these investigations into, the building itself, doing things like coring of the concrete, looking at the rebar, looking at the strength of the concrete itself, understanding what each wall is made of, and then having to go back and sort of rethink how the forces work, because this isn't a modern building. So any structural engineer has to do a little creative understanding of, how does a clay tile wall work when force comes along?
Well.
It's not the same as steel studs. It's not going to be sort of the standard answer. You're going to have to think creatively about what that means. Doing that kind of investigation really taught the team a lot about the building and how it would react and what's going to be necessary to protect it. The seismic costs in particular, I think, have gone up significantly from what they were estimated to be in 2009. I don't think that's unusual, given the investigations and what was found in the investigations, the age of the building.
Great.
Well, and don't forget, too, folks, that this session, we're not asking for 300.
Right.
Right.
We're only asking for maybe 200 or 150 to 200.
Half of 300 plus.
Yeah, so it's, it's...
All right.
It looks... there's a lot of questions about it, but it's, it's
I would
a
just,
good project.
Of course, we have a priority, Marina, and that is the History Center.
Of course.
Heritage Center.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's going to help to de-scope, to cut the space that's...
Are you offering up the History Center as a cost reduction?
It's a critical aspect of visitor experience and continued enjoyment and understanding of the Capitol and the processes that occur within it.
We are not looking at that as a cost reduction item.
You are not?
We are not.
Thank you. That's
okay,
good.
That answered my question. Okay.
Now, it came up this morning, a thought. Jerry, are you still with us?
I sure am.
All right. And Jolene has actually had some overtures from State Parks, Jolene Publica, about having a temporary facility or structure, tent with walls or something, on the mall that explains what's going on with the renovation project if and when it gets underway. Well, not even if, when it gets underway. Modeled somewhat after California and apparently Washington, who did something similar on their grounds. It would be also an opportunity for the displays that we have now for the History Gateway that are transportable to also be posited or positioned during the renovation project. And so we'd like just to give you a sense that Jolene's going to talk to parks about what those are like. And it'd be interesting to know if the contractor, once that's awarded, would have some interest in apprising the public of the progress. Just a thought. Mm-hmm. Okay. As you know, what's going on with your capital.
Right.
That's something that I think we would want to do.
Using it to talk about the renovation itself.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
I think that would be a great idea.
Right. Be exciting.
Right. Probably just north of the mountain.
Yeah.
Or the wall of water, as Jolene calls it.
Yeah. The wall of water. Yeah. No, I think that would be a wonderful idea. And we've been, one of the things that I've been looking at recently is our communications plan and really trying to expand it, make it more detailed, make it a little more thorough. But, of course, we are not going to go crazy with communications right now.
Right,
right.
We're going to maybe wait a little bit until
very prudent.
We know where things are going.
Yeah.
But I think that would be a great piece to add in. And if Jolene would like to get in touch with me, I'd be happy to sit in on those conversations with state parks.
Great.
Yeah.
We'll make sure that happens. Jolene? No, it's really Jerry. Jerry.
I've been called a lot of things. I wouldn't avoid the discussion with the contractor, asking them to contribute toward that temporary structure if we choose to do that, on the basis that it's helpful to the contractor and all of his workers, as well as getting some advertising.
Sure. We just don't have a contractor yet. Right. Okay. But a good point. Yeah. No, we want to partner with the private sector as well as with state parks. Jane.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, this is actually sort of a political question for Gary. Looking at my list of all these liberal Democrats that I have to talk to.
Go ahead.
I need to know the answer to the question that they will ask us about what's happening with money for schools for earthquake protection.
Well, that was a discussion. Thank you
I
for that question.
I think that's a public conversation.
That was a discussion that we had over whether we should include something. And I had specifically had that conversation with Betsy Imholt about whether or not we should include that in here, and we decided it's a separate issue.
This is the issue about seismic resilience for school buildings.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
But you're
going to get asked.
Well, and the answer, as I best know it, as of today, is that there is a bill in the process, and it's Ted Ferrioli's bill, that enhances the current program that we have for earthquake mitigation in schools. The Senate president is, of course, went public with his proposal, but he intends, this is knowledge that I've gotten from the Senate president's office, and so I'm just repeating what I've heard, and I hope it remains accurate. He's going to deal with it in the capital construction budget.
Okay.
It'll become an appropriation included in the capital construction budget.
Okay.
And it will enhance the current program that is on the books today that provides money for earthquake mitigation for schools, public
Thank
schools.
Thank you.
Okay. Good.
Thank
good.
You.
Marina, welcome. It's,
Thank you.
Kevin's in good hands with your coming on board. We look forward to having further discussions with you. The full foundation membership meets on the 15th. There will be legislators there. We're thinking that it's possible, if we can get them to have their lunch with us, that there might be an opportunity to have some kind of dog and pony about the project. Again, you probably don't have any other figures by the 15th, but
I don't have an answer to that in terms of the public.
We'll want piece to of it. Highlight it as the full foundation for the additional members of the board, and okay. Hopefully we'll have some legislators to educate at the same time. Any Herb?
If the members are going to be here, if the boards, the display boards, are in such a state that they really reflect what's going on, could we have those available for that meeting?
I'm assuming that they've already seen them, but I don't know how many made it to the meet and greets. Certainly John Huffman has. Ted Ferriholi, I think, has. Mm-hmm. We'll look at the list, members.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Kevin, anything to add? Kevin? No. We had a discussion earlier about what our staffing needs might be looking ahead. And that's as we go through our committee reports today, we're getting a better sense of what the needs are. And we'll be talking about when and where and how.
Okay.
All right. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you, Marie.
Welcome.
Thank
you all.
All right. Now, let's go to the development. Governance. Getting those two mixed up.
Okay, I have a new handout for you all because we gave you the working document instead of the other document. So while I'm not trying to hide anything from anybody, it's just a matter of TMI for some things. And we'll update you as much. Oh, yeah, I need that.
Is that different from what we had in our packet?
Yes.
Yes, there's less information on the one you were supposed to have. There's fewer columns. So can I have
got it. Okay.
Them all away. So take a look at, please, first take a look at the Governance Committee work plan. Great, thanks, Sharon. So Sharon and I have had some conversations, and the first step is that we need to get the articles of incorporation and the bylaws in place in order to develop the other policies, and 2037 drives where we're headed with the new organization. So Sharon and I will develop drafts and get approval from legal counsel of the bylaws and the articles of incorporation, and we're shooting for approval at the June meeting. Once we do that, then we need to work on a list of that's what the handout was, is a list of policies, and we're planning on working in three phases. Now, if you look down the title of the document, there's a lot of the policies, you know, can be combined, can be maybe we don't need them, maybe we do need them. I mean, we just have to look at everything that is out there based on what we have and what we need to run an appropriate and well-run nonprofit organization. So we have a check mark in where we have policies, and we also, Sharon went through and said which policies belong to the Governance Committee and which policies are Development Committee, because it made sense to us that we have all the policies that are being developed in one document. So, and I gave Ginny the heads up on this, because if she wants to wrestle me for any of these, I'll give up, I'm sure, or give some away, I guess, if that's appropriate too. But I think you were okay, Ginny. But if you have some comments, I'd be happy to take them. Okay. And then we also want to. Like I say, we've made a suggestion for the phase of completion. I am not terribly overwhelmed by this list. Some of what I've seen so far in terms of the policies, they're going to be pretty easy to review.
The drafts are there.
Yeah. And one of the questions that, anyway, so you can kind of see the schedule on back to the work plan. We're going to get this stuff to legal counsel. We're going to develop policies. I need some ideas about how to work with the Governance Committee, because I'd like to have them look at the policies before we pass them on to the full group for adoption. And I'd like to avoid reply all emails on policies, if at all possible, so I don't want to shoot myself So I don't know. So I don't know if we, Jenny, what do you think in terms of the best way to review those policies or share? And do we send them out by email and ask for comments back to me and Sharon? Or do we get together as a group and say, do your homework?
The committee?
Yeah.
You're talking to the governance committee?
Right. How do we get them to?
Governance committee is Jenny Lang, Norm Smith.
Right.
Me, you, Jane, and?
That's it.
Judy.
I would do all your due diligence that you've outlined here, send them out and,
Norm.
And indicate that, you know, what the process has been, who's okay. seen them,
okay.
that they're, I mean, this is pretty standard fare for
right.
501c3, and
right.
most of the people on your committee have worked with those.
Okay.
And then I would say, if you have questions, comments, additions, changes, send them to me, CC Sharon, with a deadline.
Okay.
And if you don't hear from people by that deadline, it's done.
Okay. Okay.
I would just, since Judy had to leave, by
I
the way, Jerry, her. Yeah, Judy
I
Hall had to leave. I think she had come up, if you recall, when yeah. with Ginny's prior committee on effectiveness.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Foundation Effectiveness Committee. Some draft suggestions for rules of procedure.
Right.
We'll take those.
Right.
We'll take those into consideration.
Right.
Okay. That works for me. Just trying
so
to.
You want those too? Because I've got them. I just didn't put them in here. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't see them
oh,
in
no,
here.
No, yeah,
I,
yeah.
I just make sure that you address them.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like Robert's
yeah.
rules of order.
Right.
Check, of course. Off,
yeah.
Got it.
Mr.
Chair. Good. Jane.
A question for the people who've been working on this, all of you. You're not going to send us out the old ones and ask us to.
No.
Thank you.
No.
We're
thank
combining
you.
Them
thank
into
you.
A final draft.
Right.
No,
good.
Sharon. Yeah, Sharon's
perfect.
Sharon's doing the work now, and then her and I
right.
will get together and.
I guess the one thing I would caution is make sure that Miller Nash, our counsel, has reviewed them before you send them
right.
out. You know, think you've got a.
Well,
a draft of he might. You know, you don't want to have to.
We're
going to
have him review
again.
The bylaws, but I wasn't going to have. The law firm
all right.
the
well,
policies.
I just let him know that these policies are being formulated so that he's assured that we're coming
yeah.
up with them.
Okay.
Well, you know, give him this list.
Right. I thought
say,
I would just forward
you know,
him this.
We overlooked
copy
something.
You so that you have that and Sharon so that you've got that contact and
okay.
let him take it from there.
All right.
Okay. Good. Just to keep notice that we're all on track here.
Yeah, and I, like I say, I think.
And Sharon, your help's most appreciated.
Yes, Sharon's got experience and knows what to do. Sharon, anything you want to add in terms of the conversation?
No, just recognize that a lot of these recommendations are just what's required by the IRS or just standard business practices from the nonprofit sector. You know, I'm not dreaming this stuff up, and I'm using boilerplates and
right.
modifying.
You
right. Well, one that I saw that was the record retention policy, I think I was telling Fred, the way it was laid out I thought was great in terms of it was kind of a checklist instead of a bunch of verbiage, which I always was given verbiage and I never still knew
right.
what to do. And the way you had it laid out, I know what to do.
Right, right. And oh, well, that's how
it
that's
came
how,
from the Secretary of State.
Secretary
the
of
Archives
State's
people.
Office. Right,
yeah.
they do a checklist.
That's
was,
where it
I
came
mean,
from.
You guys don't have that. It's just common.
And then the... Of course, ORIS Chapter 65 has some provisions about records retention,
mm-hmm,
but those are
mm-hmm.
minimum requirements. Gary?
Right.
We're nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
The fund.
Are we charitable?
Are you what?
Charitable.
Yeah.
Yes.
501c3.
Actually, public agencies
so
are charitable,
nonprofit.
Too.
Well, I didn't
we're
know, I didn't
we're
know that there was a difference.
Yes.
But there, well, there is. In some of the filing requirements,
right.
you can be nonprofit and not charitable.
Right.
Well, right. Like
four.
A membership
yeah.
or a charity. Yeah.
Right. So we're both.
Yes, we're a 501c3.
Which makes
charitable.
Us nonprofit charitable.
Charitable.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Right. Recognized
right.
by the
you
IRS.
You answered the question.
Yeah.
The Elio Mazzanari.
Yes.
Say
that 10 times. Okay. Good. Thank you, Joan. Good work.
Sharon,
keep it up.
And Sharon, yeah.
Now, we're to
no,
a Dropbox discussion.
Oh, okay.
Nick.
minutes.
Lately, many of you on the executive committee have been using Dropbox, which is a cloud service tool that I volunteered to sign us up for to help us share information and documents with each other. And it seems to be working really well. Some use it more than others. Some don't use it at all. But it's been working well enough now that we've used up all of our free space. And, of course, when you get to a certain point, then they want you to pay for any extra space. They have a Dropbox offers a business function, which gives us unlimited cloud storage to help us share documents. It gives the administrator of the account the ability to control what other people can see or not see, or what they can edit or not edit, so we can protect the integrity of some documents if we need to. My recommendation today is that the foundation alter their account with Dropbox to engage in their business services, which would give us unlimited space. For example, one of the biggest functions that we use Dropbox for is the newsletter. That's where we store all the articles and pictures and things like that. And that way, Ed and whoever else is working on the newsletter can access it from anywhere, as long as they have an internet connection, so they can work on things while they're at home. And that prevents people from having to email me or call me and say, hey, Nick, can you send this? And then we run into version issues. Are we working off the most up-to-date document? Things like that. So this provides one central document, which a lot of you are already using right now anyway. So this just gives us more space, unlimited space to use for those purposes.
And so it's at I'm looking at this number that all executive committee members, so that's each committee chair basically,
yes,
and the officers, and then Nick, Jolene, and Jessica, and then proposed ED or possible new staff, and Sharon as the consultant, comes to 14 at $15 a month, and we'd start that soon.
That could that switch could be made by the end of today.
Yeah, and so projected monthly cost of $210. We don't have specifically budgeted. We do under.
You have software.
Don't we have
you
data got, processing?
You have plenty of left in your software budget.
Right, software budget. So, I will entertain a motion to undertake this, and then ask for input.
another non-techie question.
Here we are over here.
I use the Dropbox at home. Now, I was using it until it told me I was full and I need more space. Will that correct it?
Yes.
That will take care of
okay.
this.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Same experience here.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, basically, I just ignored that and went to open the files, and they were all there,
yeah,
and I could
worked.
Work it.
Yeah, and
I
just ignore the message. They're
really?
Ignore
the message. They're just trying to get you to buy
well,
it.
That's what I just said.
Those messages, the way that it works is, the Capital Foundation's Dropbox, which I have all the login information
yeah.
for, I've got plenty of space on there because I've shared it with all of you, and each time I share that account, I get more free space.
Huh?
But your account that you have to set up to access, you have a smaller amount of space. This will let me change the Capital Foundation's account to a business account, and then I can say, Fred Neal, you're part of our business account, your account will then be
so the executive committee members will all be part of this business account.
Right. Now we
Thank
may
you.
Want to lock policies or bylaws and things like that, the budget up to so that not everybody's in there messing around just because they open a file and look at it.
Right.
You know, remember to take a working draft on your own, not in Dropbox.
Right.
is very important. I think that's one of the things I learned.
It sounds like we need some Dropbox protocols.
We need some Dropbox protocol.
That was one of my lessons.
Yeah, right, plain old lessons.
If you, in other words, if once it's in Dropbox, if I take it and just store it as a regular file somewhere, do I get that space back?
No.
This won't matter because they say you can use as much space as you want. Well,
not with this. It won't matter. Yet.
Okay.
Okay, so guys, here's part of how Dropbox works. And to answer your question, Herb, if you have multiple folders on your Dropbox account, the same as I do, I have a folder for the Capital Foundation, I have a folder for special theater work that I do, others. And like Nick, because I've added other people, I've shared with other people, I have more space than I'm using at the moment. But if I need to create a space in my Dropbox account, you can remove documents from the folders and store them somewhere else. The problem is you shouldn't do that with Foundation documents, because that will, if you delete them from the Dropbox, no one else will have access to them.
Holy mackerel.
You can copy.
The answer is to you, Herb, is yes and no.
You can copy.
And also, Dropbox does have version control. People who use Dropbox can, when you open a document, it basically locks it for the next person that tries to open the document if you have it open. It says this document is currently open. Do you want to just open a copy of it? So you can do that, and then you can add your edits later. In Dropbox, there's a way that Dropbox can merge the files so you don't have a version control. It's a pretty cool system, and it's not that difficult to use.
Right. I think version control is important. Mm-hmm. And that's something where I'm not adept at. I assumed when I hit save, I had it in Dropbox, like the chair's message for the newsletter, and I'm updating it, and I hit save, I'm saving it in Dropbox.
Yeah.
And by hitting save and going out of Dropbox, I've released it for anyone else to open up and do what they need to do.
Yes, and so that's the way that Dropbox works when say, Fred, you've hit your max space allotment, it will no longer update any changes that you make to Dropbox. Oh. It'll say, sorry, but you're full. So everyone else will have the version prior to your edits. So that's why we wanted to address
that. Good. Yeah. Well, my request to Ed to send me by email the article in the newsletter, I could do all that on Dropbox.
Right.
Yeah, it's there.
Correct.
Right. Save Ed time.
We can look at it right now if you want.
Correct.
Well, I would do that. Ed, don't send it to me. I'm going to learn how to use Dropbox.
Web browser. It's also usable through your computers. If you use like Microsoft Word, it's available through the Microsoft Word Explorer. Menus where you see all of your files.
Okay. Just open it as if it's another folder on your computer.
File icon down the lower left, you'll see a list of files. If you download the Dropbox add-in, it will create a Dropbox folder in your file system, in which you will then see all of the folders without going into your web browser to see it. You can do it through internet, through Explorer. And the same thing for a Mac as well. So they just have a little utility that you can download. It's very lightweight, and it's not a hassle or anything. You can just sign in to Dropbox that way instead of doing it online, and you're good to go.
Well, Nick's my new best friend. I'm going to take
lessons. Okay. Yeah. And we may have a tutorial following the formal meeting.
Okay.
Joan?
I guess I saw Sharon make a note that we'd probably need some protocols for Dropbox, and I'm sure she will help us with that. One of the protocols that I know you will add is, let's put dates on things. I can't tell how old things are when they were last updated. So there needs to be something.
Yeah,
if you go make a change, you tell me when you did it.
I was going to ask about that as well. It's if you open it up, does it automatically date that file for the date you open it, and which makes it look? Then I find out, no, that's not the version I want. That's not the latest version, and I close it. Has Dropbox already updated it to today's date so that everyone thinks that's?
No.
All right. Okay. I guess that's the other protocol, is when we have multiple drafts, we don't keep those earlier drafts. We just have the latest meaningful, viable document, not...
Well, take a look at the way that Ed has set up the folder...
Ed or Nick?
...hierarchy Ed. In the newsletter folder, for example.
All right, yeah.
And so inside the newsletter folder, you'll find the 2015 newsletters, and you'll find...
Right. Winter.
Yeah.
And then I found
drafts and right. final copies. And
right.
So that way.
But then I found Gary Will. Ed. I found another protocol issue. I found Gary Wilhelm's advocacy plan for the renovation project in the winter newsletter folder in Dropbox.
Probably because somebody was using it to write
an article. That's a copy of one that is actually in the messaging folder. That's where I have the draft. That's why I sent the draft folder. Reasons it's there is because I was working with that file, but that's not where the original lives. The original one lives in another folder on.
All right, but that's all right. System. It's confusing. It made me worry that it was going to be in the newsletter.
Well, okay. That newsletter article needs to be pretty close to that.
Right. Well, right.
In the draft folder.
No, all right. It was your
advocacy
plan.
Legislators to contact and all of that.
Oh,
yeah.
That scared us. Who put it in there?
Ed did.
Ed,
he just explained that.
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't thinking about that. I was thinking about...
It was a resource for him when he was doing the FAQ. Okay.
Okay.
All right. I have... I think Ginny is making a motion that we make the expenditure to upgrade Dropbox in the current budgeted funds to a business plan per Nick's outline. And then... That is Ginny's motion, and I'll allow Sharon to address it.
I was just going to suggest that we expand it, because for another $650, right. we could do an annual subscription for Constant Contact, remove our problem of not being able to do good e-newsletters, or our little templates to send out that we want to do, and we can do it month to month, and let's just get started and try it for a few months and put it in the cost. I just was pricing it online.
Okay, what does that do to Bloomerang?
Nothing to Bloomerang. What we use our database for is we export out the email addresses into this other place in the web, in the cloud, and then it gives us a wonderful tool for generating e-newsletters or little postcard reminders, whatever we want to send out.
Is Dropbox related?
No, it's just they're just both software. And, and for less than that, what I'm saying is for $1,000, you guys can increase your efficiency by...
Either one motion or two.
I think it's either one motion or two.
That's
Ginny
all I was
wants
saying.
To amend her motion.
I do.
and I just blindsided Nick with the idea.
1650.
That's what I was doing over here.
Nick, any response?
So to amend the motion, you would include a subscription for Dropbox as
a business entity
by Nick, and a subscription to Constant Contact.
Yes, thank you, Ed.
Right.
I like that.
And then figure out what the budget is for with that expenditure. We've got the expenditure now, but we need to incorporate that into our 2015-2016
right.
budget.
Right. So I just ran the numbers for Constant Contact.
Right. And so
$650
and
a year
get
max.
That figure to Jerry.
$650 a year.
$650 for that.
Right. Yeah.
$1650
plus the Dropbox.
Yes.
$25.
Yes.
So 31.20,
yes.
We think.
What?
Okay. Is there any, having the motion as amended before us, is there any objection?
No objection, but what's the total now?
31.70
annually, so some okay. portion of that to buy us.
Dropbox is okay. $650, and the business account is $512.
Dropbox is $2,520
per user.
Per year.
That's the nonprofit rate? Oh, sorry. I was given a different number. All right, go ahead.
Okay. So it could be lower. That's your point.
So okay. We're taking 2,520 and adding the 650. Is that what
right.
we're
doing? Not
okay,
to
got
exceed
it.
Not $3,500 for both.
There you go.
We could say this.
Not to exceed $3,500 for both. That's the annual cost. That's the budget figure. That's not what we're talking about now.
Okay.
We're talking about expenditures for April, May, June.
Right.
This budget. That we already have money appropriated for, so what is that going to cost us in the next 3 months? That is the motion.
210. So 630 for Dropbox.
Right.
For the next 3 months.
55 times 3 for constant contact.
165.
Assuming, yeah. I'm just going off the list price. They may have a nonprofit rate that's cheaper or something. I'm not
all right,
seeing,
so
you
let's,
guys,
let's
please,
least,
I'm only as good as what I'm seeing
it's,
here.
It's 800, eight, well, 795. Let's say not to exceed $1,000.
Okay. Yeah, and I think we're going to get a better rate on Dropbox because
right.
they but have a nonprofit rate that I don't think the salesperson quoted. I talked to him and
all
Nick's
right.
talked to somebody else, so obviously we have a sales thing going on.
And that's for this buy-in, this
that's this current
this year,
budget,
2015.
Yes, through June 30,
okay.
right,
okay.
is what, not to exceed $1,000.
Okay.
And then we'll, once we get that cost settled, we'll know what the budget figure is for 2015-2016. Right. Any objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
And I have a question. Do we need to, can Nick go buy it now, or do we need to get approval from the full committee?
No, the executive committee can take
okay.
action.
Excellent.
We just did, yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah. But I want he and Sharon to figure out who's talking to who here to get in different
but
figures.
That was just a matter of a sales inquiry. And
yeah.
you know, you're only
all
as
right.
good as a salesperson on the other end of the line, right? As we know.
Well, as we well, know.
Yeah.
All right. I would I think it won't take us a full 10 minutes, I hope, to just go through and summarize what we think the agenda is for the 15th. I had thought I had promised Sharon 45 minutes
whatever.
For a shakedown, an educational oh. cruise for the, but I could.
Perfect. Yeah.
Do you think that's going to be
fine.
Beneficial or necessary?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I can. We can. I mean, we could take up 2 hours if you gave it to us. I just the point is the board has to be. You know, well, I don't mean that unkindly, but we need to get focused on fundraising and development
right.
if you're going to stand on your own.
What I think we ought not to do is do that when the legislative lunch period. So.
Oh no, no. Use
we'll
that
figure,
to leverage
figure,
who's
right.
in the room. Oh
exactly.
yeah. No, because that'll be work sessions.
Say fairly early while everybody's fresh.
Jerry, go ahead.
Just go to the airport.
Oh, all right.
Bye,
no
you.
Problem. We'll put you on the agenda just for a budget update because it's not going to be a budget. Well, you actually don't need to be on the agenda, I don't think. Just remember to be.
We'd be asked to be on the budget. We're considering a possible proposal for a policy that
Ms.
is working on.
Right.
But I'll let you know.
Good, good. All right. Thank you.
Well, that should be.
We'll love to see you back here and. Sunny but wet.
Yeah, don't come back with a tan, Jerry.
Bye, thanks,
Jerry. Bye,
Jerry.
Right, I do think Ginny will put a legislative update on the full agenda. Nick, are you taking notes? To development, 45, but then there's also an endowment. So that's what...
We can put that as part of that.
Part of
It'll
that.
Be part of ours. That's fine.
All right.
Okay.
So, I don't want to call it shakedown. It's it's sort of crass.
Yeah.
Education.
Just development. Just
development. Development.
Development.
Yeah.
Okay. Development policy.
And endowment. Yeah. We'll figure out some nice wording for that. Okay. 45 minutes. Gary, project update for the full. And we want legislators, if we have legislators there.
What do you want during lunch?
Right.
Yeah. But start with that.
Right.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I have to announce that I'm not going to be there. I'll be home on the phone.
Kim?
The reason that I am so grumpy is because I'm having shoulder surgery next Wednesday.
Ouch.
And I'm going to be out of commission for a while. And then it'll include the 15th. But I'll be on the phone at home.
I could drive down here, and you could suffer in public.
Can Kim help? Can we get Kim involved?
Huh?
Can we get Kim involved to help?
Duncan, Kim. Duncan.
Well, I don't think, I don't know. What do you, I mean, what do you need?
Well,
can
that's
I do it on the phone?
Yeah. Do you need Kevin and Marina, I guess
yes.
is the
question. Well, I think they should be here to give a report.
Right. All right. And I think that should be a lunch, don't you?
Yeah.
Or not?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, and Gary's conversation about our strategy for working with legislators, it seems like the other legislators who are members of this committee should ought to know what that is. So that seems like that would be a lunchtime activity.
Especially.
I mean, we certainly don't. I mean, they need to know what we're up to.
Well, I think
they probably
want them
do.
Supporting.
Most of them do. They've
right,
volunteered
right.
They've been, to
take.
They,
yeah, okay,
they volunteered to take contacts.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
They're just waiting. Okay. They've all said, you know, let me know when.
It's been a long time. I mean, I know who I'm supposed to do, but it's been a long time. Does that need to go out again, or did it go out again, or?
The list and assignments.
Who's got what assignment?
Well, I can certainly send that out if you.
Why don't you and say, you know, no, we've got the FAQs. It's time to go meet. Give the assignment again and remind people who they are assigned.
And include in your email a copy of the FAQ and say that the nice
Nick's.
Copies for distribution are at LAC.
That would be helpful, Gary.
Nick's desk.
So give the assignment, the go.
So what else do we want to do at lunch, at the lunch part?
Do you want to broach the endowment at lunch, or is that with the legislators?
We were just talking about, we were going to include it in the development, but wherever you want to put it, because
well,
I can incorporate
think?
It into the role-playing exercise and stuff, but if it's
sure,
for
but,
approval, then I would do it at lunch.
So the legislators
sure.
are aware of it.
Yeah,
so
I
let's,
can still do it. Do it both
we'll figure out how to, if we need to bifurcate it at all. But I do like Joan's suggestion of start having the. I've been through so many of these training sessions that I tend to get fogged over. So the earlier it is in the day,
you
the,
early so that because last time
actually
you
you're
rushed.
Not going to be trained. You guys are going to be working with each other. So
great.
Yeah, this
right.
is active participation.
That's great.
All right.
But you got. It seems like you had to rush through last time. So let's make sure you get your 4:45.
Yeah. No, that wasn't very.
It was a great. It was a great presentation, though.
This is going to be.
Yeah, in PowerPoint.
Okay. It was really good. No.
Yeah.
Okay. Nominations we need to do, so where do you
right.
want that?
Nominations can happen earlier.
Okay. Phase two of the gateway, do we want to have more? I have that on the list of things.
Right. Jolene, okay. Does that, that's yep. legislators?
That would be really helpful.
I think
they
so, yeah.
About it.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to have everything at noon. We just, yeah. What you're, what I'm hearing
no,
is.
No, no, no. This isn't, no, no, no.
We want the legislators to come to our meeting and
like
they might not.
Well, would that be
you.
Nice? No, I don't think so. I think Gateway is not going to take that long.
Okay.
And my endowment is, may or may not have to be there, but if it's
well,
bifurcated.
Well, you're going to approve it, don't they?
Yeah.
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 Okay.
And then the building committee is simply, I think rather than a, We're more strategic here, or more involved. I think the presentation isn't going to be as complicated.
I have
I'll try to control the length of that, unless legislators have questions, and then I'm going to let them ask.
Because I say, yeah.
Right.
Okay, then I have. I think Judy should give an event committee report to the full group because not everybody knows that we agreed to do 4 events a year, and we also need to approve. $1,000
No, it's done.
Okay, then we don't need
the fund does. That's on the fund.
Okay, okay,
agenda.
Great. Anyway, but I think Judy should do an update on special events.
Yeah, it's always good to let people know what's going on.
And then I should probably do an update on governance.
Right, but I don't
but
know that
those,
that
those
needs
don't have to be at noon.
Right.
No,
right.
We gotta have something before
right.
noon.
Do you have any agenda items over the lunch hour that will actually require participation? Because I hear a lot of talking and reporting, which can be considered a consent agenda. So why should I bother to come when I could have just read that somewhere? Think about your folks that you're trying to engage.
Well, the endowment is an action item.
Yeah. But, I mean, just think, can you have an item on there where people can talk? And maybe that's the building. I don't know. Just think about that.
Well, okay. For sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Instead of just listen.
Yeah.
Participate. Good
right.
point.
Right.
Yep, you're right.
Good advice. Let's see. Well, we want to bring up the, and this is Judy can do, is the May 28th Heritage Festival.
Well, that's an event committee
right.
report.
Yeah. But she needs to ask for volunteers too, from them,
she
get
has
them involved.
Many.
I know, but.
Needs to ask.
Okay.
Needs to ask
okay.
so that people get asked.
Okay. Good.
So that we're not have the same people every time.
We're
good
at it.
We're good. But,
you know. Make them feel like they're excluded.
Okay.
Like
the more the merrier.
Okay, and then I have another question about if we're trying.
The agenda?
Well, kind of.
Okay.
If we're going to invite legislators, it seems like we might want to do a little nicer lunch than.
Think about perception.
Yeah, we're not.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. We just want to.
It's good. It's fine. No complaints. They just give it a lot.
Once Gary sends out the list and looks how that relates to our legislative members, then I will take on the responsibility of contacting the ones that aren't otherwise assigned.
Who?
Oh, Vic Gilliam. Who's got Vic?
Everybody's assigned.
All right. Then I want the people that are assigned to our foundation legislators to make sure, extend a personal invitation to them to come.
Well, they are assigned themselves.
Damn. Well, then I will call them and ask them to be sure to be here on the 15th.
Good idea.
And we're going to, and is there anything that you're particularly interested in that we can cover when you're not in session and you can have lunch with us?
Good. Very good.
And then we'll Joan and Nick and I will structure the agenda around those responses and get it out, I'd say, by this time next week. Cause yep. 1 week, so it's a week in advance notice. That's good. All right.
Herb has a hand up.
Herb. For any of the other chairs, is anybody planning on having a meeting before the foundation meeting? I would like to have an hour meeting before.
After. I need the fund after.
Okay, so I'll like the meeting an hour before then. For the history committee.
Okay, Jerry's brought an email out to her members to meet April 23rd or April 28th. So it's after, right. But that's fine. She's on schedule.
He's doing immediately before, is what he said.
Okay.
Once the time.
But
I need to send a special email to the fund board to make sure that they.
Well, we'll. Yeah, let's maybe after this, after adjournment, you and Nick and I can work on a fund. Agenda.
Okay.
Good.
All right, on schedule.
All right, and not do a Dropbox tutorial, or Gary, or were you going to?
I'll call Nick. You can do a form, right?
Yeah, sure, because you'll have it.
And I think they also have one on their website. Not that that's the way you want to go.
I downloaded that.
But sometimes I have to go back to it to remind myself.
Yeah, same here. All right.
Just Google Dropbox.
Is there anything else to?
I mean, just as if
you. Are you okay, Joan?
Yeah.
All right. Heimlich time.
Oh.
Okay. Don't walk away joking. I mean, it's like made me very nervous.
I saved my sister-in-law once with a Heimlich.
Any other business to come before us?
She's dead now.
Hearing none, we're adjourned. Hearing none, we're adjourned.
He's dead.